If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
By the way, do you know the website?
You know, I'm embarrassed. Do you know the website number? I should have it in front of me, and I don't. I'm actually embarrassed.
I'm going to call your office directly, and get it later.
It is recovery.
But Danny scores a basket, even though he's not a wolf anymore.
We're here with Tracy Jordan, who just recounted, by the way, the entire plot of the movie Teen Wolf. What? Oh, hold on, Tracy. My producers are telling me there is breaking news.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. This just breaking in.
Best part of making up is with two girls and one cup.
That's me, that's him, and that's you.
So I do that, and you do that, and he does that?
Unless you do that, and I do that.
Well, I'm the only one who can do that. Unless we use one of those, but I don't know where we get that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What was that?
Roll another one.
Let's all keep it funky now.
Just like the other one.
Okay, explain the pink.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're an idiot asshole.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. Let's shine.
Tina, come get some ham.
Roll.
Mohinder?
This one seems to be about to end.
Adolf Hitler.
I don't have another cent.
Live for nothing or die for something.
But don't bogart that joint.
Yeah.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, Eric.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Bong.
Good day.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
Paul Harvey.
What a touching tribute that was.
Jordan, a good bong? Why not?
When people pass away, they usually go to Bean for, you know, some kind of emotional support.
Sure.
Well, that the appropriate tribute sweet. Is what
correct.
I like to provide.
That's correct.
And timely, too.
I was waiting until Friday. I was wait until Do Bogart Day. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it's Friday the 6th of March. Kapow, pow.
I bet you can't get a boner.
We are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for the Friday morning edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. I was just hearing Mike babbling on about some exercise thing he's got going on this weekend. I'm trying to figure out what it's all about, because I could probably do it.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, you could smash it. Yeah. What is it? What are you doing this weekend?
I have another physical challenge. It's just like the last one. It's a big circuit of really demanding exercises in a row, and there's absolutely no possibility Bean could get through.
Of course not.
I mean 30 seconds. There's no possibility 30 seconds he could last.
How dare you? Well, lay it on me. Let me hear it. What do you have to do?
Do you start with what?
Monkey bar crawls for about 300 yards.
Okay. 300 miles? I could do.
Could you run barefoot for about 2.5 miles?
On
what?
On what?
Like all terrain.
On hypodermic needles?
He's had to work on toughening up his feet.
Yeah.
Wait.
That must be fun for Jenny.
What's the sense in making you run barefoot? I don't even understand why that's an advantage.
Well, the guy who set this up is like a Navy SEAL, and it's kind of like a triathlon, but it's more demanding on the body, and you have to fight against the elements, you know?
Oh, because the triathlon is too easy, so they figured, let's figure out a way to make it tougher.
For these dudes, it is. These guys are serious heavy hitters. I mean, like I said, they're all like ex-Marine special ops and Navy SEALs, and I'm like candy ass trying to, you know, be a part of the club.
So these are guys who sit around and they basically just try to prove – they try to out-macho each other to show how tough they can be. Oh, yeah, well, I'll run that while people are shooting flaming arrows at me. I mean, it's that kind of thing, right?
No, almost, kind of in a sense because, I mean, these are guys who feel like the modern world isn't tough enough for them and they harken back to, like, the Spartan days and that's what they want to be a part of.
Wow. First of all, that's stupid. And second of all – Bean could manhandle those guys. Those guys wouldn't want to even be in a race with him.
You're right.
All right, so monkey bars 300 yards, then you run barefoot for 2.5 miles, and then you're done, right?
And then you got to crawl underneath in, like, muddy water. You got to crawl. I think it's like
Muddy Waters is going to be there?
No, he is. He's actually, yeah, he's doing it to play the soundtrack, like a half a mile or something. But it's underneath, like, barbed wire and stuff. It looks all rugged and tough.
You can't crawl a half a mile under. Is it really a half a mile?
Yeah.
That's a long ways to crawl.
It really is.
Bean, how about
that's
that one?
That's really a long way.
I could crawl on top of the barbed wire. That's how tough
okay.
I am.
All right.
So what kind of, I mean, do you train by trying to do those same things? Have you been running around Pasadena barefoot to kind of get used to it?
Yeah, in Santa Monica, where I train too. Like you said. I mean, I'll just, and people, you should see the looks I get. I already get a lot of strange looks when I run anyway because I have four dogs that like equal 20 pounds with me. So cars are already like crashing as they look at me go by. And then they see me barefoot. I look like a total freak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine that distance would kill your dogs.
Oh,
your dogs can't run 2 miles.
But they're young.
Yeah, and they're champs. And I've been keeping them the diet strict.
Right, so
they have
so
some dumbbells at home.
So those dogs are in training at all times.
So after Bean crawls on top of the barbed wire a half a mile, then what?
That's over.
That's it.
Yeah. Then it's over.
Oh, okay.
Then it's Miller time. Yeah. I used to do that. I used to do that exactly what you described. I used to do that every Saturday morning before I started my workouts.
Right. That wasn't to get in shape. That was just to warm up.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, let me know how you and your little girlfriends do with that, Mike. Hope you have fun.
All righty.
I gotta say that is not very smart. I have a better weekend plan, and it involves none of that.
That I agree with.
All right. Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It is Kevin and Bean's What to Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about the world-famous Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew t-shirt? That's what you get for being on the air with us right now. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, you know what? Let's start with Justin in Van Nuys. Let's get this party going right.
Okay.
Justin, good morning.
Good morning.
What it do?
Not much, man. So anyway, I'm a plumber, and this one time I was at a job, and I had the fear.
Oh, no.
The homeowner had left to go get a part because he didn't want to pay the price for me.
Right.
And he basically left. I got the fear, and I ran around in a circle for about a minute and went, oh, no. Luckily, I'm a plumber, so I have buckets in the back of my truck.
Oh, right now.
So I had to, here I am relieving myself in the back of my plumbing van into a bucket.
That must have been one of the worst experiences of your life.
Yeah, it was pretty weird, but, you know, it could have been worse, you know?
I guess.
It could have.
I guess so, yeah. The fear. You don't want that. That's all I'm saying.
The worst part was I had to drive around with it in the back of my truck.
Why? Why would you do that?
Why didn't you dump it behind the guy's house?
Well, I didn't want to, like, make his house smell. So
I would dump it out the window as I drove down the freeway.
Nice.
Guys, if you get the fear, and if people don't know, it's the urge to, it's the need to suddenly go to the toilet. What you do is, and this is all over Southern California, you drive to Psycho Mike's parents' house in South Pasadena, and that's where you do it, is on their lawn. That's the only acceptable place to relieve the fear. The fear.
That, exactly what he just described, has happened in K-Rock vehicles in sticker bins numerous times.
Excellent.
Yeah, just to let you guys
know. I'm never going in one of those vans.
Or taking a sticker.
Let's talk to Steven in Buena Park on line 3. I haven't heard about this. This sounds unlikely, but we'll give it a try. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, you guys? Yeah, you guys haven't brought up Kimbo Slice in a while, and just the other day, he's back in the porn business doing his, he's not actually in it, but I guess he quit fighting, and he's a big bud, and they did a ripoff of, Harold and Kumar go to Guantanamo Bay.
Right. Wait a minute.
Security guard.
Was he in porn before?
He was the security guard for porn.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So he actually works as a security guard on the set, and then they also put him in some non-sex. He is a non-sexual performer in the movies as well.
Yeah. If you look up on cagepotato.com, they got pictures of it and stuff like that on there. It's funny.
So, but has he dropped out of MMA altogether?
He may be going to Strike Force, but I don't know. He's a big joke anyway, so it don't matter.
He got worked in that last fight, right?
Oh, yeah. He got knocked out by a jab. Like, they're not even in his weight class.
Right. That was, wasn't it, don't I remember correctly, that it was like a first rounder or something like that, or a first minuter? I mean, it was just a ridiculous fight.
He was set to fight Ken Shamrock, and Ken Shamrock hurt himself preparing for the fight and dropped out. And Seth Petrocelli just happened to be there. I guess he was going to fight somewhere else on the card. Came in and beat him in like 14 seconds.
Yeah, it was 14 seconds. King of Mexico just said too.
That's right.
14 seconds.
Wow.
All right, going back to porn. It's a good choice.
You got to last longer than that to work in porn, I'll tell you that.
It's all good. All right. It's all good.
All right, Kimbo, thank you.
Jason in Long Beach. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Yeah, so I got home about 5:15 yesterday, tried to buy April Fool's tickets, obviously sold out.
Yeah.
So I go to StubHub.com, looking at pit tickets, and they were $900 a piece.
Wow.
A piece?
A piece.
They'll never get that.
I can't imagine
that's
they would.
Ridiculous.
You're talking about the Fancy Pants tickets?
Yep.
Yeah, because the other thing about that is you can sell the tickets, but you can't get the backstage parking or the party beforehand or the T-shirt. Any of the other goodies don't come with it.
Although they might be promising those, but they can't deliver them.
But they can't do it because the person
don't know.
The person who bought them with the credit card has to show up with ID. So you'll get the tickets, but not anything else. But $900 a piece.
Oh, come on.
That makes us sad, I'll tell you what. But it's legal in California to resell tickets. I mean, there's literally nothing we can do about it. If somebody has a pair of tickets and they want to sell it for however much they can get for it, we have no control over that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I just thought that was awesome. You guys should know.
All right, yeah. Jason, I have a pair I'll sell you for $800 a piece. We'll talk about that off the air.
Sounds like a good deal.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
It's Friday, of course, and we have Russell Brand in the studio today.
Yeah, pretty
cool.
How
about that?
He's got a new book by the name of My Bookie Wook. My
Bookie Wookie, isn't it?
I don't know.
There's a clip of him up on KROQ.com. It's really funny.
He will be here. He's the guy that hosted the MTV Awards last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weirdo.
He's a little strange, yeah. Yeah, he's a little strange. No cussing week is this week, so Psycho Mike went out on the streets and got some audio of the people and how they love it.
Mike, I got to ask, I know we'll hear the tape later. Did you find anyone who thought it was a good idea?
No, I did not. And it's crazy because usually, you know, you got extreme liberals on one end, you know, like hippie tree huggers. And you got like the guys who are stockpiling guns to go live in the Ozarks on like the other end. All sides of the spectrum hate this and hate this idea. And
I think there'd be old people who would go, yeah, I think it's time to clean up the language. But you didn't even run into any of those people.
No. And I tried to talk to pretty much all types of citizens.
And last year, when Psycho Mike went out to talk to people about No Cussing Week, he ran into this dude, and this dude figured it had to have been a hippie, right? Is that why he was saying this?
Yeah.
Had to be a hippie that came up with the idea, and that's where we met.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Love that dude.
Movie Beat also on today's Kevin and Bean Show. You dated your parents' ex. Lily Allen's story.
Yeah.
Dated her parents' ex. That's weird. Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. We have your tickets this morning coming up just after 6. A chance for you to earn them.
Cool.
Oh, that's better than paying $900 for them, I'll tell you that.
Yes, it is. And later on today, we have in the Cinco de la Tarde, we have Gwen Stefani. So, pretty cool.
She used to be in that band that sang those songs.
That's right. That is accurate. 5:44, we'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. What?
Hey!
No.
Hey!
I don't think so.
Yeah. And your chance to win the April Foolishness tickets for April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater coming up in just a few minutes. We'll tell you how you can win them coming up at the end of Ralph's showbiz beat. He is here for a first look at what's going on in Hollywood for a Friday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Let's talk about Chris Brown, shall we? He was in court yesterday.
Yes.
Charged with two felonies yesterday related to his alleged beating of Rihanna near Hancock Park on February 8th. First count says he committed assault on Robin F. Rihanna's real name, by the way.
Okay.
Robin Fenty. The second count was to do criminal threats, felony criminal threats, and felony assault. Those are the two charges. He is free on $50,000 bail.
Are these the more serious ones, Ralph, that they were
expecting? These are the two big ones. He was supposed to be arraigned yesterday afternoon, but that's been postponed till next month. And if he's convicted, he could get anything from probation all the way up to 4 years. So we'll have to wait and see what the sentencing is, if in fact he gets found guilty. But at least he had the common sense to go out partying last night after his appearance in court. TMZ's got photos of Brown leaving the SLS Hotel in Beverly Hills around 3:45 a.m. Onlookers say he spent much of the evening at the hotel bar partying with his bodyguards. Good times!
All right. Awesome.
Doesn't this guy have handlers? Doesn't he have somebody and say, hey, Chris, maybe you don't want to be out partying after you
lay low for a few
maybe
weeks.
Just today.
Maybe just for appearance's sake, you may not want to be doing shooters.
I heard Harvey interviewed, and he was saying that there's another picture of Rihanna taken the next day after the beating when all the swelling had set in. And he said she's unrecognizable, and if they were to go to court with that photo, he'd really be put away. So he's like, I'm telling his lawyer right now, you better cut a deal. Because if that gets out, he's so screwed.
Harvey's a mover and shaker, man.
He is.
He's pulling the strings of celebrity justice.
He's pretty much running Hollywood these days.
He is. Did you guys see American Idol last night?
No.
Oh, so good.
Not yet.
So good to watch Tatiana get booted off the show for the second time.
Wait, I thought...
Because they brought her back.
I know they brought her back, but I thought she was going to make it to the next round and then get kicked off.
Last night was wild card night.
Right.
Where they brought back eight potential singers who hadn't been passed through to the top 12.
Right.
And give three of those eight a chance to move on and join the top 12.
So the other five lose again.
Right, exactly.
So she
was in the bottom five of that group and got booted again. And melted down. She was in rare form last night. It was magical.
That's awesome.
She was crying and laughing and doing all kinds of good things.
I'm going to see that with a bottle of wine tonight.
I just wish they would just dedicate a camera to her the whole time, because they keep cutting to people in the audience. I'm screaming, no, show me her. I want to watch her cry.
I'm sure she's already been on the phone with VH1 and all the other networks.
I want her to have a reality show.
Yeah.
I want them to follow her year round.
But every week she has to lose something else. I want to watch her just fail, and then be crushed. That's all I care about.
Listen to this, Kevin. When she was eliminated, she instead of going and sitting back at her seat like you're supposed to, she walked over to the judges and she just practically threw herself down on the floor and was hugging the American Idol logo on the front of their desk.
She was kneeling down in front of the judges' table, looking up at them, and they were like, it's okay.
She was upset?
Yeah.
Because she got kicked off?
Wow.
She's holding Paula's hand going, I love you so much.
Wow.
Absolutely. There's no question now she's going to turn up in a car dead in front of Paula's house. That's just going to happen.
You don't have the tape by any chance of her video package, do you, Bean, from that
time? Now, friends, it's time for... You know who? Tatiana.
I am in love with everyone and everything that has happened. I have found love, and God, I love what I do, and I love to sing so much, and I just want to show the world how much I love to sing and how this means to me, and to get a second chance, which nobody gets second chance, is once in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to sing for you, America. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, America.
Wow.
No one gets a second chance except for these other seven people behind me.
That was kind
of a once-in-a-lifetime second chance.
It was kind of a fake second chance, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Kind of a fake accent, if you want my opinion. She never had an accent before last night's show, ever.
I think
several
I love
the
her.
Judges said, well, where is this accent coming from? Oh, when I am emotional, I go back to my native San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Shut up. She's the best.
Robin Williams is in worse shape than we originally thought. Doctors are saying now he's got to have a heart valve replaced.
Ooh,
that's bad. His aortic valve apparently is faulty, so they're going to have open heart surgery and fix that for him.
That's what Mrs. Bush just had.
Thank you, Bean.
It's all over the news.
Robin is 57 years old, so they're expecting him to bounce back pretty well. So
when is he going to have the surgery, Robin?
Who is his anesthesiologist?
Excuse me, I didn't say anything.
No?
I should direct those comments to Miss Lisa May. Is it possible that just too much hair got caught up in his valves in his heart?
It's a fur ball.
Got a fur ball.
That's the problem. Yeah. They got to fix that up. You know, Watchmen opens today.
I would like to never hear that sound again.
Malin Ackerman plays the Silk Spectre in that film, and she is just diabolically hot, and that's no accident. Us Weekly magazine talked to Malin and says she has to train for 2 months with a Navy SEAL to get into the shape she's in from Watchmen.
Wow.
So Mike, when Mike goes off for one day with this little pub crawl where you carry a beer under some barbed wire or whatever, she's training for 2 months with a Navy SEAL.
That's so hot.
It's real work.
I hear you.
Ralph, I have a Watchmen question. Not that I am going to ever understand the world of the Watchmen completely, but why is she the Silk Spectre 2? What happened to the original Silk Spectre, and was that her mom?
Her mother was Silk Spectre.
Do you know anything?
The original Silk Spectre.
Okay. And what happened to her?
She retired. She was a costume crime fighter in the 40s in post-war America and with a group called the Minutemen. And then as she got older and had a baby and got married, she retired and she passed the mantle to her 16-year-old daughter.
Oh, she just kind of trained the kid to follow in her footsteps.
Exactly. Like many, many people who follow in their parents' footsteps.
Why are you asking Ralph these questions? You should be asking Kevin.
That's right. That's
what I'm talking. Kevin's the expert.
I forgot we had an expert. Yeah.
That's right.
Come on now.
I heard good things about stumping Kevin regarding the Watchmen while I was gone.
That's sad.
Sorry, I missed that.
I'm sorry no one won tickets.
Amazing.
I was too good.
You were just too good?
Yeah.
Oh, they keep making me angrier and angrier.
Who does?
Hollywood. They've just announced the new big screen, big budget movie version of the comic strip, Marmaduke. Yes?
Yes.
Marmaduke is the movie in the works. Marmaduke.
Yes.
You familiar with Marmaduke? The wacky Great Dane?
I know of it. I don't read
like,
it.
And he's like, loves bones and really gets into trouble.
All right now.
I remember how incensed you were they were making the Garfield movie, which ended up being a huge hit.
The only comic strip less funny than Garfield is Marmaduke. Right. God damn Hollywood to hell.
I don't know how Marmaduke is a movie. I really don't. I mean, at least with Marley and Me, it was about a dog, but at least it was a, you know, a huge best-selling book that had a plot. What does Marmaduke have?
Marmaduke takes the leash and pulls you really hard when you walk him. And he loves bones.
That is a movie.
He'll do anything to get his bone. Oh, it's going to be great.
And he's so big and it's just so unwieldy because
awkward.
People come into the house.
Awkwardly large.
He's just
inconvenient.
A huge
Can't say that, Ralph.
But that's what Marmaduke is.
They're pretty much going to have to split that into two movies, then.
I hope it's a series. Yeah. I hope it's a tentpole franchise for Warner Brothers. I hope they just never stop making Marmadukes. God damn it.
Well, the only thing
Fox is doing Marmaduke.
Yeah.
Apologies to Warner Brothers.
I'm sure the My Name is Earl guy is going to be in it. I'm sure of that.
Oh, Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Isn't he in all those
That's
bad
true.
Movies?
He did the Chipmunks movies.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah. Underdog.
Right.
Yeah, he does specialize in bad kid movies. Today's celebrity birthdays, Shaquille O'Neal. He is 37 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold is 50. Actor-director Rob Reiner turned 62 years old today. David Gilmour of the legendary band Pink Floyd turned 63. TV personality Ed McMahon is currently struggling in the hospital right now. We wish him the best. He's 86 years old today. And D.L. Hughley, one of our favorite comedians and actors around here, is 45 years old today, and CNN celebrated by canceling his show.
They did?
Yeah, they've canceled D.L. Hughley's show.
Oh, I didn't know
on CNN, so not a great birthday, I'm imagining, for D.L.
That's a bummer. I didn't watch it, but I mean, I like the concept that it was on.
I supported him when I had the chance. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So the show is virtually sold out. Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater, an all-star night of comedy. Last I heard, there were some single tickets available, but that information was from last night, so I don't know if that's true anymore. But it's virtually sold out. And all the proceeds go into a phenomenal cause, Boarding for Breast Cancer. And I can't believe now all that's left is scalpers or winning them on the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
That's true. But we're going to let you earn them. We're going to put together a montage.
We're going to need a montage. We're gonna take some montage.
Because that's what we do. okay. But this is different. We usually do music. And we do tiny little clips of music next to each other. And then you have to identify the song and the band in order.
Mm-hmm.
This is comedians. We've never tried this before. But there are comedians that are playing our show, the April Foolishness. And so the list is, seven or eight names long?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
So there are seven clips in our montage. All you have to do is call up and tell us which comedian and in which order.
Okay.
Who's first, who's second, who's third, who's fourth. Here's the montage, and then you call at 1-800-520-1067.
When I was on Saturday Live, he said he was going to put a bullet in my big fat Mick head.
Well, I just went to the bathroom and dropped a deuce.
I'm going
to
entertain you with my little scene dancing ability.
Duty jokes.
This elephant is painting an elephant.
I wouldn't be Arthur's with Andy Dick.
Oh, yeah, and I'm in Ratatouille.
That's it.
Well, there are some definite clues
yes.
from each performer as to who they're who they are. That's that definitely helps.
For example, there's one girl.
Yes, that's helpful.
that's obviously Kevin Nealon.
That's pretty clear. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win tickets today to the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Here's the montage one more time.
When I was on Saturday Night Live, he said he was going to put a bullet in my big fat Mick head.
Well, I just went to the bathroom and dropped a deuce.
I'm going
to
entertain you with my little scene dancing ability.
Duty jokes.
This elephant is painting an elephant.
I wouldn't be Arthur's with Andy Dick's.
Oh, yeah, and I'm in Ratatouille.
Oh, the last guy, though, I can't figure it out. He's in Ratatouille. Who could it be? Is it Rogan? Oh. Lisa May was saying yesterday, as much as she loves these comedians, as much as she's heard them so many times on our show over the years, Lisa, is this right? You've never seen any of them in person.
Nope, not doing stand-up. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you know,
and
they're
really, they become friends. They're the nicest guys, and I'm really excited.
This is weird because I know there are a lot of people who, when they have the conversation of, what do you want to do tonight, it's... I haven't gone to a comedy club since maybe the last time I went to CJ Moore, but I mean, not very often do you go.
Mm-mm.
Or at least most people, I think. I'm sure they have pretty much the same people all the time. But you hear people and you think that would be great, that would be funny, but you just, for some reason, you don't consider going.
I don't know why. What that is either. I've certainly seen some of them with their HBO specials and stuff,
right.
And they're great.
Fantastic, right?
But in person, that's a whole nother thing.
All right, here's one more hint for you, and then we're going to go to the calls at 1-800-520-1067. This may help help you put the name to the last voice that you're trying to figure out in your head. Here's the lineup for the show, so you know who you're choosing from, okay? You got seven that we're looking for. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman. Those are the comics that are going to be playing on April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater, 1-800-520-1067. Let's see if we can get ourselves a winner and give away some tickets.
I'm sorry. I need to make a correction. And the Armenian comedian. Okay, let's go to the phones.
Oh, no.
Let's go to the phones.
That has not been signed off on.
Greg in Corona. Good morning.
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good morning, Greg.
You want us to play the montage again?
Absolutely.
All right, here you go.
When I was on Saturday Night Live, he said he was going to put a bullet in my big fat Mick head.
Well, I just went to the bathroom and dropped a deuce.
I'm going
to
entertain you with my little scene dancing ability.
Duty jokes.
This elephant is painting an elephant.
I wouldn't be Arthur's with Andy Dick's.
Oh, yeah, and I'm in Ratatouille.
All right.
Greg, let's hear it, dude.
All right, I've got Kevin Nealon.
Correct.
Jay Moore.
Yep.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
Joe Rogan.
Wow.
And Patton Oswalt.
Oh! You forgot one.
So close.
So close. Wow, nice how do you get all of those on the first call?
That's impressive. Fan.
Wow.
That is impressive. Let's try Mary Hacienda Heights on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Mary.
Did you have most of those the same order?
I'm the winner. My name's Mari, by the way.
Mari.
Okay.
Mari. Sorry. She wants us to get her name right because she's the winner.
That's dumb.
I understand.
I like that. Okay.
Kevin Nealon, Jay Moore.
Yeah, if you don't mind, wait for the ding sound effect. It's a very important part of the game.
Sorry, should I start over?
Yes, please. Yes.
Kevin Nealon.
Not that slow.
Okay, you don't have to go that slow.
Mari.
Jay Moore. Jimmy Kimmel. Sarah. Joe Rogan. Jeff Ross.
Nicely done.
Right.
Suck it, Greg. Look
Suck
at
it,
that.
Greg.
You are the winner, and you will be joining us on April 3rd, Friday night, for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Oh, honey.
Nicely done, Mary. Mary from Hacienda Heights. Thank you for playing. I'm saying you don't want to go after your parents.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Never know.
I don't even want to think about my parents.
I know. Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock 618. Lily Allen, 23 years old.
Who I just adore.
Here's a song called The Fear, by the way, which concerns me.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need a song about the fear. I think the fear is just best forgotten.
Although
today.
The lyrics are pretty accurate. I'm being taken over by the fear. That's how it works.
Her new album, It's Not Me, It's You.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like it too.
I love it.
She's very talented. She's really, really good. And she's a very colorful personality. I mean, she's the one that Ralph has done in the showbiz beat a lot because she's always saying dumb things or doing crazy things. And now we find out, Ralph, you broke another story about Lily Allen that we just discovered this week too.
It turns out her boyfriend, Jay Jopling, he's apparently an art dealer, big time entrepreneur in London. He used to date Lily's mom, Allison.
Okay.
Huh.
She's a film producer in London, and apparently they were an item before Lily got there.
So Lily's 23. This dude is 45.
Right.
This dude dated Lily's mom for a while.
And has been a friend of the family, apparently, for many years.
And now he and Lily are dating.
Now they're knocking it out.
That's so creepy.
Wow.
She's known him probably for much of her life, I would imagine.
He literally, you know, people say this all the time. You know what? I'm old enough to be her father.
Right.
He literally could be her father.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
been around that long with his mom.
Now, there are a lot of 23-year-olds dating 45-year-olds. That's not all
God
that
bless
exceptional.
Him. God bless him.
But I think most 23-year-olds would see that dude, and even if they had warm feelings for him because they knew him and he was a nice dude, they would go, I'm not going to go there because my mom used to date
right.
this guy.
Yeah.
That would be gross.
I'm not next.
I'm not dating Uncle Joppy. He used to come over and ride me on his knee.
Oh.
Hey, take it easy.
And then knock it out with mom after the lights went down.
Now, occasionally we'll say that we come across a topic that we don't think we'll get any phone calls on. It's not possible that
fake your death.
That somebody.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's the one I had money on.
Yeah.
Come on.
We did a call in topic with you fake your own death, and we could have gone all day with calls.
It was insane.
Which was weird. But I can't. I mean, really, how many people are dating somebody that their parent dated?
That's just a bad idea.
Was married to or. Whatever.
Doesn't that, every time you're with that person, doesn't that go through your mind?
Yes.
That, wow, my mom has been here before me or my dad has been here before me? Doesn't it?
I would certainly think so.
You have to flash on that, right?
I would certainly think so.
We want to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you have been involved in a relationship like this where you've gone after your parent. And here's how I knew we were getting into freaky deaky territory. Here's how I knew that this one was going to be tough, that we were getting beyond the pale. Because when I found out that Ralph Garman hadn't done it, I thought it's not being done often.
That's true.
I'd never.
Because Ralph's up for anything.
But sadly, you know, my parents have been together my whole life. So
yeah, that makes a difference.
I really haven't had a chance to nail any of the broads my dad nailed. Other than my mom.
Because they're all dead.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, we're not talking about mom. Oh, okay.
We're talking
that's
about
different because I love her.
Somebody a parent dated.
And here's what I also want to know, because we don't know much about Lily's mom. Is she cool with it, or did this cause some sort of a rift because now her daughter is banging her ex-boyfriend? I wonder
according to the story, she's absolutely fine with it.
Really?
Wishes them the best. Has nothing but warm feelings towards them both.
Huh.
How do you... Doesn't it fill your mind with doubt about what was happening while you were dating him?
No, because they dated... Doesn't the story say like they
apparently
dated...
Apparently it was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so she
quite
was much younger.
It wasn't back to back.
Yeah.
You know.
So okay. She was a little girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Now, but I mean, that's look
creepy.
At her now. That's,
no, I know,
that's
but I'm
different.
Saying that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's even creepier, Lisa, if you've known the girl since she was a little girl.
Right.
And
that
you were banging the mother.
Sure.
And you were banging the mother, and this little girl was a girl you used to bounce on your knee and used to watch cartoons with.
Right.
And then she grew up, and then you're not banging the mother, and now you're banging the daughter.
Yeah, and that's bad.
It's even
it's all
creepier.
Bad, you guys.
Even creepier.
This is not good in any way.
No.
But 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. I'm glad to see that they're not we're not being overwhelmed with calls.
You're dating your parents' ex? We want to hear from you because we have so many questions.
Now, if guys date their
father's
ex-girlfriend, that's fine.
Way
nothing wrong
creepy.
With that.
I bet it causes more problems, though. Yeah. I bet guys and their macho BS get all puffy about the fact. If you're a father, especially if you're like one of those swinger fathers, you're like, you think you're pretty cool and young and hip and you're dating this young chick and you've got the, you know, the Lambo
right.
or some other kind of car you're
right.
driving around in, and then your son, younger son starts knocking, I bet you get like in his face and say, who do you think you are? Not under my roof, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so if you're a girl and you're having sex with your mom's boyfriend, that seems creepier.
It seems better to me.
Better?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm almost not surprised that Lily Allen is the one that has come forward with this, too, by the
way. She's a loose cannon.
She is absolutely a goer. I mean, she's the one who was talking about, hey, what about the good side of drugs? I mean, she seems to be down for anything. So
she's got a new song on her album that talks about the fact that she likes this guy a lot, and he's so kind and forgiving, but he's just horrible in bed, and she has to kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the sex for her. I mean, you get the sense that she does like to have a good time.
What's the other song that she has, Bean, that you love, the F.U.?
F.U. very much.
Yeah.
F.U. is her number one song on YouTube right now. That's the one that people are loving, so... All right. Well, this could be the one where
we're not getting any calls. Well, we're getting some, but they call and then they screen in the other room and then they get hung up on for whatever reason. So I'm guessing they're not good stories. But
there are people out there who have dated an ex from their parents. I'm shocked because I thought our listeners had done everything.
You know, you recommended that BBC series Man Child, and I was watching that.
Yes.
And there's an episode just like this where the older guy is dating this really hot girl, and it's funny because they have sex and it's great, and then they're sitting in bed and they have nothing to say.
She's making references. She's like, who's that? Yeah. Who are you talking about?
She ends up dating his son, leaves him for his son.
Yeah. But I think it makes.
And he's like, yeah.
But
all
I think
right.
it makes
God
more.
Godspeed.
I think it makes more sense that way. If the parent is older and the person they're dating is younger, the age of the kid.
Right, right.
It makes more sense that then she would go with the younger kid because she's his age.
Right.
In this particular story, he's her age, the mom.
Right.
And she's, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years younger or whatever. Yeah. And that seems a little weirder. That's a little hard.
I don't know. It's all icky.
Introduce you to our new friend, Steve.
From Riverside.
Okay.
Yes.
Steve.
Answer the phone, Kevin.
Now that we've got
just
a call,
to hear
why don't you
we
pick
can't
it up?
Meet Steve unless you pick up the phone, Kevin.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, well, first, I was 16. I was after one of my high school basketball games. And
by 16, you mean 18.
I'm 18 now.
Thank you. Okay.
I was an adult male.
I was completely legal, Kevin Abib.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And anyway, the old man fell asleep, and I needed a massage after the game, and we took care of business. And then a couple years later, when I was 20, we started dating, and she already broke up with my dad and stuff. But yeah,
no.
Now, how old was she?
Let me go back just for a second. Your dad was dating her at the time, and your dad was in the house but passed out?
Upstairs asleep, yeah.
Wow, you're gutsy.
You're a stud.
Hey, I got to do my thing. It was good times. I was a little boy. I mean, a man.
Yeah, you're right. Young man of legal age.
Did your dad ever find out about the massage incident?
I don't think so, because I think he would probably take me out. But I think he later on put it all together because he saw we were spending a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Was it awkward for you and your dad when you were in your 20s and you were dating his ex? Did that create a problem in your relationship?
Nah, we're good. We're good. We're okay. He was just there for a few months, and I was there for a year or two, so it worked out.
And by there, you mean
there.
Having sex with her. Yeah,
right. Vagina is what he means, right. All right, Steve. Excellent call. Thank you. Now the floodgates are open. We're going to have to take a break, but we got mother-daughter combo. We got ex-boyfriend's dad. We got hooked up with same girl as grandpa. We got that, too. Never even thought about the grandpa deal.
Taking another generation.
A step further. Nicely done, K-Rock listeners.
The listeners have come through, and those calls are next. Please hang on. We'll get right to you on the world famous.
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
Come on. I think we're just going to start leaving the mics up during the songs.
I think we should.
As well.
Bass, how low can you go?
Kevin and Bean sing-along show, that's what we'll call it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Comedian Russell Brand joins us later on. Also, it's Friday. That means we've got the movie beat. And what's going on with South Pasadena and the No Cussing Week? All of that straight ahead. Right now, we're looking for our 909 and 951 friends because I know they're out there. You dated someone your parent also dated, and by dated, I mean effed. That's what we're looking for right now at 1-800-520-1067. This email, heard you guys talking about this topic this morning. Disgusting. Anyone who has sex with my mom will never have sex with me.
Right.
Which I think is a reasonable policy.
That's a good policy.
Not for Lily Allen.
That's healthy.
Yeah, Lily Allen doesn't subscribe to that, but we are taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we get to Andrew in Los Angeles on line 4. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Happy Friday, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You as well?
Hey, so I'm at the river, and a couple drinks in, we're at a bar floating on the river. And there's this
no
girl.
Good story has ever started with, we're at the river, by the way. Something bad is always going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Parker.
Yep.
Okay, so we bring her back to the house we have, kind of on the river, and she was kind of flirting with my grandpa. And
she was what? What? She was flirting with your grandpa?
She was flirting with my grandpa. He's a stud. He was in his early 60s at the time. And, I mean, this is kind of a common thing for him. He grew up doing this there. So he brought her back, hooked up with her, and when the night started getting a little later, I had to finish up the business for him.
Oh, okay. Dear God.
Okay. So let me see if
Grandpa started it and you closed.
grandpa started and I closed.
So this is another generation. We didn't even conceive of this. That we were just talking about your dad dated somebody and you also dated them.
No, my parents have been married for 25 years.
Right, so they had to go to grandpa.
Yeah, had to go to grandpa.
Had no choice.
Now, let me ask you this question, Andrew. At some point, did it cross your mind, hey, that girl just had sex with my grandpa?
Maybe the next morning.
Oh, so you were already drunk? Sobered up. You already drunk by then?
I was a little plastered by then, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did any of this take place near a river?
That's the best story ever. This guy one-upped our story. Lily Allen's nothing.
Yeah, Lily Allen just started banging her grandmother's boyfriends.
That happened, 10, 20 years apart. This guy did it in the same day.
With grandpa.
Yeah,
by the way.
We only saw her one day and never saw her again.
How do you let a catch like that get away?
Imagine the story she had to go back and tell her friends. Hey, what'd you do last night? Well...
Yeah,
I don't know how it happened.
Nailed the grandpa grandson combo. Woo! She's high fiving her girlfriend.
Lisa, do women, is that a hot thing for women?
Not
bragging rights.
Not so much. Not really.
What? Lisa married a dude her grandfather's age.
That's true.
Yeah.
Andrew, did you ever have a conversation with grandpa about her?
We never really spoke about it, but it's a great story to tell some buddies around the campfire at a party.
Of course, they're down by the river.
Down by the river.
Yeah,
exactly.
Either way.
All right, Andrew, you are officially the Kevin B. Listener of the Day, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, all right?
Wow. Wow. You one-upped us.
That's why I stay away from the river, man. Nothing good ever happens down by the river.
That's if you remember anything from today's show, remember that.
Congratulations to Adrian Macias from Lomita, who just picked up No Doubt tickets. This is one of the shows of the summer right here. No Doubt with Paramore and The Sounds, July 31st and August 1st. They're going to be playing at the, what does it say here?
Pink's Hot Dogs.
Wow.
They'll be playing at Pink's
Hot
Dogs.
That's a small venue.
Verizon Wireless.
Curious that doesn't say that right here. Anyway, so we're giving away tickets all weekend long. They go on sale tomorrow at noon, and then you're also eligible for a grand prize drawing that we do. Check this out. Tell me this isn't ridiculous. Front row seats for 8, passes for 8, your name on the ticket, name on the marquee, dinner with the band, and a dressing room backstage.
Oh,
wow.
That's too much.
That is too much.
That's overkill.
That's yeah. Anyway, that's the grand prize drawing, and I assume we're doing that on Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But all weekend long, you get a chance to win those tickets and qualify. And our friend Gwen Stefani joins us this afternoon. She's our special co-host on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon here on KROQ 2.
It's a whole
entire hour with Gwen. Huh?
Whole hour of Gwen.
Oh, I like an hour with Gwen. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's pretty obvious what you're saying.
I'd like to have sex with her for an hour.
Yeah. I'd rather you didn't say that.
Is that clear enough?
Well,
for you?
Yeah, it's clear.
You getting it now?
It's probably not.
Can I draw you a picture?
No.
Can I show you my genitals?
By the way, Monday, Dave Gahan. From the Depeche Mode.
The entire show.
Not the entire show, but.
I'd like an hour with Dave Gahan.
A portion of it.
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
And now here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you. God bless you. I don't like Chris Brown.
Me either.
I decided I don't like him anymore.
What's he done?
He was in court yesterday facing the music for his alleged beating of Rihanna, charged with 2 felony counts yesterday when he went to court, one for felony assault and the other for criminal threats, which is what happens when you say, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he threatened her with after she called her assistant. He was supposed to be arraigned as well, but they have postponed that until next month. So we'll have to wait and see when the trial will start. If he's convicted, he could get anything from probation all the way up to 4 years behind bars. Currently free on $50,000 bail, which allowed him to party last night at the SLS Hotel.
Oh, good for
him. In Los Angeles. So I was glad to know he was having a good time. Because, you know, he's good that way.
I'll tell you, our charity works with abused women and children. So much of this goes, A, unreported, and then, B, if it's reported, nobody gets punished for it ever.
Isn't that sad?
I sure hope this guy gets the max.
It's official. The Beatles Rock Band now has an official release date. The Beatles, you can play it on the video game Rock Band.
Wow.
The Beatles music featured on the video game. It'll be September 9th, which Bean will mess his pants over because that means it's 999.
Oh, yes. That's a cool number.
9909.
No, I can't wait.
I'm surprised Bean didn't start the show with Happy Multiplication Day.
What does that mean?
Because today is 369. They're all divisible by 3.
Don't encourage him,
Ralph. So I figured he would be spinning
out. Ralph, don't...
Happy
Happy Multiplication Day.
Don't encourage him.
Well, the date's completely divisible by three. Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool? That's a good number. Not as good as 99999.
It is... What? What?
He was... He did a huge breath and a...
not only will you get to play the Beatles music, but the limited edition package of Rockstar will feature the instruments that were played famously by the Beatles. So you get like Paul's Rickenbacker bass, and you get all the instruments that they played in the Beatles as well, replicas of those to play with in the video game. So,
is there any other good music in that particular
release?
Oh, come
on! The Beatles!
How are you going to come at the Beatles like that?
Same.
Speaking of
I have a rock band question that you guys are going to wish I hadn't asked.
I have a question that I know you'll hate.
Where's that caller?
Kevin, you play the rock band. What about, like, for instance, Paul McCartney famously is left-handed. He plays the bass left-handed. What about with those games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, if you play the wrong hand? Can you do that? Can you still play those instruments left-handed or right-handed?
There is a left-handed setting, yes.
There is.
You can there you go. An I answer. A question wow. and an answer.
Bean wow. had a question that we actually had an answer for.
Thank you, Kick of Mexico.
King chimed in. More music news. Yesterday, Michael Jackson, looking surprisingly robust, took the stage at London's O2 Arena to announce that this is it. This is it.
Do you get the idea that
this is it?
He's going to play live again. Do you get the idea he really doesn't want to? And that...
He needs the money?
He needs the money, yes. So he's going to have to, but
I would.
He's pissed?
Yes.
It seems like.
If he had his option, he probably would not do more concerts, I'm guessing. But he faked the enthusiasm yesterday when he faced the press in London.
These will be my final show performances in London. This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it really means this is it. Because...
What do you mean by this is it?
This is it.
Because I'm not sure.
I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear.
Okay, but what...
This is it.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is it. The final. This is
what?
The final curtain call.
That's it.
And
this it?
I love you.
No, okay.
Is this it though? This
I really do. Okay. You have to know that I love you so much.
All right, this is it.
Really, from the bottom of my heart. Okay. This is it.
This is it.
And see you in July.
This is it.
Would you say this is it?
I'm saying this is it. 10 what? Concerts. 10 concerts at O2. That's where he's going to be kicking off his tour. If everything goes well. Then he's expected to add more concerts around the world, but we'll have to wait and see. So far, it's just he's just committed to the 10 shows in London.
Oh, interesting.
It's always fascinating to me whenever Michael Jackson does anything in public, whether it's showing up at court or a press conference like this yesterday, there are always people screaming and crying hysterically.
Yeah. You should have seen the crowd at O2 yesterday.
Really?
It was
but
nuts.
At what point does that dissipate? At what point do you go, okay, I used to be crazy like that for Michael Jackson, but now I've grown up or now he doesn't affect me that way? There are always people still like that.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems crazy to me, too, but...
I think certain artists will always have a hardcore group of feverishly devoted fans.
Like
and
Elvis.
And he's one of them. Elvis is one. Yeah. Jackson's one. The Beatles. Yeah. The Dead. There are certain bands that will always have this hardcore fan base who will never, never get over it.
But it seems like Michael Jackson, especially, all of his fans are not the ones that were his fans in the 80s and grew old. I mean, they're young...
But a lot of the
young
Elvis
kids.
Fans didn't grow up with him either.
That's true. I guess maybe if your parents play him or something, you would get into him. But that's weird.
You never hear a Dead fan squeal, though. I got to tell you, they're
that's
too
true.
Stoned.
They're too
high.
And Joaquin Phoenix continues his campaign of lunacy.
Excellent.
According to people who saw him at a bar recently, this is in the New York Post, whenever he meets young girls in this new persona that he's adopted, which is sort of weirdo rap wannabe, no more acting guy.
Right.
He insists that the girls call him Kitten.
Kitten?
Yes.
What?
This is...
Hi, I'm Kitten. Nice to meet you. Please call me Kitten.
So all the girls have to call him Kitten.
I'm telling you, this is a big scam, and I want to punch him in the face.
I was talking to Joel McHale about this yesterday, about the Joaquin Phoenix thing, and I believe also it is a big scam. It's a big goof that he's doing.
He's having a laugh.
He's having a laugh on us. But it's a bad scam in the sense that he has picked a very dull sort of persona to do performance art with.
Yeah.
Remember Andy Kaufman, the legendary comedian who used to do all kinds of weird things? He would take an entire audience of people out for cookies and milk after a comedy show, or
he
would wrestle women, you know, or he would, you know,
pick fights with pro wrestlers on talk shows and stuff. He was like interesting. It was weird, and it was all
it was
goof.
An oddity.
It was
controversial,
but it was something that was active. Yeah. You know, this Joaquin Phoenix comatose act is already wearing thin, I believe.
Yep.
I don't know how entertaining the final product will be.
But you're not going to act anymore?
No.
Huh. Why is that?
I don't know.
It seems dynamic to me, Ralph.
Wow. Seems lacking a certain energy, I'm saying.
It brings
Before
it to
I
life.
Get to the showbiz birthdays, I have a quick email I need to read here from listener Dave Changsek. Thanks for calling, writing Dave. Hi, Ralph. My name's Dave. I just wanted to tell you a story. Last weekend, I was on my way to a party, and I stopped by to get some beer on the way. Just then, I got a call from my friend Tara. She asked me if I could pick up some gum for her brother Mike and her boyfriend, also named Mike. I said sure, and asked what kind of gum they prefer. She said they like the small, bite-sized candy-coated gum, so I picked up two boxes for her. I guess you could say that I had two chiclets for Tara's Mike.
I've got two chiclets for Tara's Mike. Won't you pack your bags for leave tonight? I've got two chiclets for Tara's Mike's. I've got two chiclets for Tara's Mike's.
All right, but that's it now, right?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's...
I've got a stack in my office.
Oh, you pretty much, you've exhausted
two
that
Two chiclets
now.
For Tara's Mike's.
Give it up! What?
Got a stack of stories, including one from Psycho Mike.
Nope.
The new Gidget premieres tonight, which I won't be doing.
Thank you.
Horrible.
Thank you.
Awful.
Thank you.
New Gidget premieres tonight. Not even close.
That's not trying.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Shaquille O'Neal turns 37 years old today. Playing pretty well for a 37-year-old
He really
man,
is.
By the way.
Hey, he looked great in that Phoenix win over the Lakers. What did he have, 30-something points, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had back-to-back games with over 30.
He did.
Yeah.
First time in a long time. D.L. Hughley. Which, sadly, his CNN show has been canceled. He's 45 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold is 50. Rob Reiner's 62. Dave Gilmour of Pink Floyd turned 63 years old today. And TV personality Ed McMahon,
yes,
is 86. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey.
Wrong.
Song doesn't inspire a hey, I don't think. No, at all.
I don't think so. That's a remake of the Joe Satriani song by Coldplay on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. It is 7:07. By the way, Russell Brand, comedian, very funny, MTV Europe host, and the host of our MTV Video Music Awards last year, is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about his new book. Plus, Ralph has the movie beat coming up later this hour on K-Rock.
And we have Gwen Stefani this afternoon for an hour.
Cool. So
that's very
like
cool. Now.
All right, let's talk about these strange animal stories. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but every once in a while, a weird animal story comes across, and then usually it's a little while before another one, then another one comes. There's three of them that have surfaced just in the last couple of days. One is the whistling orangutan.
By the way, Joe Rogan must be going crazy right now because, you know, he's so tuned in whenever an animal does anything weird, he, like, figures it's the sign of the apocalypse. So if he sees a whistling orangutan, he's got to figure we're on the way out.
Well, here's the thing. They have been able to teach orangutans and monkeys to whistle. Mm-hmm. This one taught itself.
Ooh.
This one they did not teach how to whistle, and it taught itself.
It took the next step.
Yes. So that is story number one. The monkeys are taking over the world. Story number two, I don't know if you saw the picture from the Louisiana lake, but there's a dolphin that is just pure pink.
Really?
They've never seen anything like it before.
Huh.
It's a bottle.
Is it albino? Or?
Yes. It's a bottlenose dolphin that's considered an albino, and it has reddish eyes.
Oh, my God.
And it's a pink dolphin.
Okay, explain the pink.
All right, those, that's two. And the other one is a dude, a 20-year-old in Nebraska named Aisha Schumacher.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the deputies were looking for him because he had a warrant out for possession of marijuana. And they kicked down his door. Yeah. And when they went inside the house, they saw that he was smoking out of a bong right then.
Mm-hmm.
But then they noticed that the bong was kind of a big square, like a shoebox size, and that he had a kitten inside of it, inside the bong.
No, no, no.
What, he was
no.
trying to get the kitten high?
He said it was high strung.
Oh,
so,
no.
It's not that he took a hit from the bong and then blew the smoke in the kitten's face. The kitten was in the bong.
Oh, I'm so glad they broke down his door.
They did, and they took the kitten, and they're looking for an actual home for it.
Jeez.
That's terrible.
And I just like to say at this point, at least it was just a kitten. Okay, but anyway, so those three stories seem like
bizarre.
It's a weird time. All of them happened at the same time. So we had our producer Alex line up an animal expert. He's an expert in the oddities world.
Huh. And if you can't see where this is going, you've never listened to the show before. Hello, Kevin Abid here. Who's our expert on the phone?
Yeah, like, wow, meow, man.
What?
Like, meow and stuff.
Wait a minute. The high cat is answering the phone?
This is Shadow, man. What's up?
Shadow, you don't sound high-strung at all. Your owner said that you were...
I'm high something, man. They love the high-strung.
So, it doesn't sound like you're all that upset that he put you in his bong.
Meow.
Although you have a habit now, right? I mean, how do you...
Oh, man, they put my guy in jail, man.
They did, yeah.
Your connection?
I gotta find another dude now.
How long did it take you to convince him to put you inside the bong?
Oh, man, it took me like weeks to train him to do that.
I see.
Humans
okay.
are hard to train, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's just like, meow.
Well,
yeah.
Who knew this would
and
be the opposite?
That a lot and look at the bong, like give him the hint, and he'd be like, "What?" I'd be like, "Come on, dude, put me in the bong."
Very impressive.
And then he
So
I eat a lot of tender vittles afterwards.
I'll bet you're starving.
Sure.
Oh. That sounds good, tender fiddle.
Where are you, Shadow? Where are we calling right now? Are you back at home at your place in Nebraska?
No, I'm here in the Comedy Animal House.
The what?
Comedy Animal House.
There's a Comedy Animal House?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, look, there's the pink dolphin.
Oh,
hey.
Wow.
Hey, what's up, pink dolphin? I thought I was just seeing things, man, but he's really here.
Would you mind passing the phone to the pink dolphin?
Meow. Hold on a second.
I don't know if that's a yes or no.
That's cat for yes.
Cat. Okay.
Hold on a second.
All right. Wow, very very intelligent cat there. I'm surprised.
Hello?
Hi, is this the pink dolphin?
Yes, this is the pink dolphin. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We do a little radio show out in Southern California.
Oh, radio. My goodness. How wonderful.
We saw the picture of you, and it looks, it's the first time anyone has seen a pink dolphin.
Well, that's because I'm unique. I'm special.
Right.
I can't get married, but I'm special.
I see.
How do you like those apples?
You are a bottlenose dolphin, and
yes,
the captain who saw you and photographed you said it looked like you'd just come out of a paint booth. I mean, you were just so consistently pink across all of your skin.
Yes, I am beautiful on the inside and the outside.
Right.
Okay. And I am a bottlenose, which comes in handy. Sometimes.
Oh, yes. I don't want to ask.
Depending on whether I meet another dolphin.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a nice blowhole.
Sure. Okay. I think we get it.
That's how we breathe.
Right. We know
Stop
that.
It already. Grow up.
So now you're living with a high kitten in the Animal Comedy House?
Yes, we're in the Animal Comedy House. We're shopping it around for a reality TV series.
I imagine everyone would want that.
Yes, the pink dolphin, the high cat, and the whistling orangutan.
Oh, is the orangutan there?
Oh, I don't know.
Would you mind? Look,
I don't know what
look
the
around.
Odds are that he may be here.
Look around, pink dolphin.
Let me see. Let me look around. Is there a whistling orangutan in the house?
Was that hello? I think that's hello.
Is this Bonnie from the National Zoo in Washington who taught herself to whistle?
I don't speak dolphin. I think that's yes.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
It's Bonnie.
Wait, I think we're talking to the orangutan. I don't think you have to speak dolphin here, Kevin. I think now you have to speak orangutan.
Now you're confusing me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm an orangutan.
All right.
You're an orangutan. Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you cheat? Your name's Bonnie?
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you teach yourself to whistle?
I live in a cage.
Right.
And you get bored. You can only throw so much poop. So sometimes you got to entertain yourself.
I see.
So I was just sitting there, and I was thinking, what was the theme for the old Andy Griffith show? I was thinking to myself.
Wait, you... How do you know that TV show?
Oh, I love that show.
Really?
Yeah, I listen to Mark and Brian a lot.
Oh, I see. They turned you on to it, didn't they?
Yeah, they're good. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
So were the zookeepers, were they shocked when all of a sudden on your own, without being taught, you just started to whistle in your cage?
No. They were fine with it. Yeah, they were shocked. I'm a whistling orangutan.
That's true.
Wouldn't you be shocked if a monkey started whistling at you?
Well, I would be, but I'm no expert in animals. I don't know.
Come on, that's impressive.
It is
that
impressive.
I'm a freaking primate.
I mean, considering no one taught you, that is impressive.
Yeah. You should see what I can do with my ass.
I'd rather not.
Wow. Hey, stay away from the bottlenose on that dolphin that handed you the phone, by the way. He's got bad plans for that.
Oh, okay, I will.
So you like living there in the comedy animal house?
That's no.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
It is Friday. It's 7:22. Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, party people. About 6 new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Of course, everybody's talking about the big one, which we'll get to in a little while. But first, let's talk about some smaller films that are being released in limited theaters throughout Southern California this weekend. One is The Horseman. This stars Dennis Quaid in a cop thriller about a recently widowed detective who is still grieving over his wife's death and discovers a serial killer who was linked to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Ooh.
It's kind of like an X-Files sort of vibe to this film. Dennis Quaid, as I mentioned, stars along with Zhi Zhi Zhang.
Hey!
Oh!
Here's some clips edited together from the trailer of The Horseman.
Revelation 6. Come and see. It's the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Four Horsemen. Four offerings. You're not going to find them.
These people chose the horsemen as their model for a reason.
They have been trying to lead us to something. They're building to something. It's going to happen tomorrow.
Ah!
Creepy.
And then Nicolas Cage finds a whole list of numbers and... Oh, wait a minute.
If you come across the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, don't you just not tell anyone because it's not worth the headache? No one would believe you. No one knows what you're talking about. It just seems like
whatever's
a lot of
heartache. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's out of your
hands. Let them do it.
Four Horsemen? What? Look, remember
right.
The Four Horsemen?
Right.
Death, famine, pest. I don't know all four of them, but they're bad.
One
of them was Sarah Jessica Parker. I know that. I can't believe she's not in this movie.
Also opening this weekend in limited release, Phoebe in Wonderland, story of a super talented, super smart little girl who is confronted by the seemingly rule-obsessed world. It makes her crazy, but she seeks a certain amount of friendship and enlightenment from an unconventional drama teacher that she has. This was at Sundance Film Festival earlier this year and got amazing reviews. It stars Elle Fanning, who is the little sister of Dakota Fanning.
And looks a lot like her.
Very much like her. Yeah. And is equally talented, according to people who have seen this film. Those Fannings, they know how to turn them out, don't they?
No kidding.
Also starring in this film is Patricia Clarkson, and Felicity Huffman. Here is a scene from the film in which little Phoebe, played by, as I mentioned, Elle Fanning, is talking to her parents about hope.
Are you always supposed to feel hope?
Did you jump because you didn't feel hope?
Oh, no. I feel hope there. At least I did.
Where?
In Wonderland. But not here.
I can see myself wrecking and ruining. But I can't stop myself.
Wow, it's a troubled little kid.
Comedy's creepy.
Yeah, good time. Mm. Feel good summer movie of the year.
That does sound creepy.
And lastly, let's talk about Watchmen, shall we? This has been literally... The most anticipated comic book movie of all time. 23 years in the making. It is the graphic novel / comic book that said they could not film it. But yet
for
they
a long
have,
time.
For a long time. Zack Snyder has finally taken on the task of filming The Watchmen. The technology has caught up to the story. And I had a chance to see it on Monday. And I got to tell you, Watchmen fans will be very pleased with how faithful this film is to the original source. It is a literal recreation of the comic book in many, many scenes up on the big screen.
If it wasn't, I would not accept it.
I know, because Kevin, I know you're a diehard Watchmen fan. Right.
Kevin's a stickler for details when it comes to the Watchmen universe.
Here's the thing. I saw it Monday night. I loved it, but I'm a big fan of the book. As I watched it, though, I was thinking, if someone wasn't familiar with the material, if you hadn't read The Watchmen, could you come in here and watch this film and appreciate it as much as the Watchmen fans are going to? I don't know the answer to that, but I think maybe not.
Expand on that.
It's a pretty dense story, and there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of backstory that they don't have room for in the film that they did in the 12-part series of the graphic novel. So I think there is something lost in the translation, but the things they do include in the film are remarkably faithful to the original book. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing about comic books. Sometimes the dialogue, which was really, at the time and still is considered, some of the best dialogue ever written for a comic book, the best script. When you read it and you're imagining those characters, it's one thing. To hear live people actually say some of those words sounds a little comic booky sometimes.
It's kind of weird.
It kind of pulls you out of it. And there are some changes that have been made from the original story in the comic book to the film, but I found those actually really helpful and useful, especially in terms of making the movie. Because I thought, I know it's sacrilege to say, but I thought some parts of the comic book were a little bloated, a little overlong, a little overwrought, and they've really streamlined the story for you in the motion picture. Here's a scene from Watchmen in which the comedian, and I'm not giving anything away by saying it's his death that kind of starts the whole...
I did not know that, Ralph.
Look, that happens in the first page. I know you've read the first page of the book, Kevin.
Oh, that's right.
His death sort of sparks the whole story of the Watchmen. Here is a scene between the comedian, this is a flashback between the comedian and Ozymandias, who is another one of the superheroes, clashing over their different viewpoints regarding whether it's worth the Watchmen to get together to try to save the world.
Watchmen. That's the real joke.
Look, Rorschach and I have made real headway on the gang problem by working together.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
Yeah. And that'd be you, right, Ozzy? I mean, hell, you're the smartest man on the planet.
It doesn't take a genius to see the world has problems.
You know, mankind has been trying to kill each other off since the beginning of time. Now, we finally have the power to finish the job. Ain't nothing gonna matter once those nukes start flying. We'll all be dust.
Comedy?
It's a bit of a downer. I mean, this is a serious comic book movie. The basic premise is, what if comic book superheroes really existed in our world, and how would they affect politics and our everyday lives? And there are some problems to be dealt with.
Ralph, I'm a little nervous about the 2 hour and 40 minute running time. How sometimes a movie can get away with that and doesn't feel like it. What was the case with Watchmen?
It moves pretty good for a movie of that length, but it does feel like it's a little over 2 hours. But there's a lot going on in this movie, and I'm surprised they were able to pack everything in to 2 hours and 40 minutes, quite frankly. The performances across the board are outstanding, but especially Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you heard him there, as the comedian, really is brilliant. Patrick Wilson plays Night Owl. Matthew Good as Ozymandias. And Carla Gugino is the original Silk Spectre, and Malin Ackerman as the Silk Spectre 2. It really is a great cast and a noble experiment, and I think as good a job as you could do with translating The Watchmen onto the big screen. Now, will this resonate with the average movie-going public? I don't think so. I don't think we're going to have sort of a Dark Knight-sized hit on our hands here. I think this will please the Watchmen fans, but above and beyond that, I'd be curious to see how regular folks enjoy the film. Because it is a little dark. Right. And it is a little complex. And these are not characters we've been exposed to our whole lives, like Spider-Man and Superman and Batman. You kind of have to learn as you go along in this film. So I'm giving it a qualified positive review. I think comic book fans will adore it, and regular moviegoers, I think, will either be intrigued or confused.
Okay.
So there you have it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Greg Irby from Anaheim listening this morning. Just picked up tickets to the show of the summer, No Doubt, with Paramore and The Sounds. That's a powerful triple bill right there at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, July 31st and August 1st. By the way, not only is it the homecoming concert for No Doubt after, what, more than 5 years?
Yep.
But it's the last two dates on the tour. So how crazy is that going to be? So we started giving away tickets this morning. We got them for you all weekend long here on K-Rock, and you're also qualified for the grand prize drawing for the dinner with the band, front row seats. You get a dressing room backstage. You get all those details at krock.com, and good luck with that.
More this afternoon at 5 with Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
So check that out. Psycho Mike, you went where and you talked about what?
I went to my hometown, the town that I currently live in, of South Pasadena, California, where No Cussing Week has started. It started last year, and it seems
it's effing No Cussing Week again?
Yeah, it seemed to have some traction because they're doing it again this year.
How old was the kid that came up with this concept?
Well, he's like a freshman or sophomore in high school now. So
he's 14, like 15 or something, right?
Wow. Okay, so he came up with the idea. Last year, there was a decent amount of press on No Cussing Week. Just basically what it sounds like. You're supposed to try and avoid using that kind of language.
Right.
And by the way, this a-hole got a book deal out of it, too. Wrote a book about his efforts to stop other people from cussing.
Really?
Yeah, and he's all over the news this year. He seems to be getting a lot more media coverage this time around.
Wow.
Including
us. So you went to South Pasadena with a microphone.
And I tried to talk to as many citizens as I could of all creeds, races, ages, and genders, you know, to really get an idea of what the population as a whole believes. Not so happy with it. At least that's what I found.
We'll be the judge of it.
Okay,
when we hear the
listen
tape.
To the tape and tell me what you think. And you are a South Pasadena high school student?
Yes, sir, I am.
How do you feel about No Cussing Week here in South Pas?
I think it's pretty gay, actually. I don't think the school has any room to tell us, you know, if we can or can't cuss.
I think that everybody should be able to exercise their First Amendment rights. I think it's bullshit that some little kid from South Pas is getting this going, getting on the news, and I think it's just a big media push when really it's kind of unnecessary and I don't see it as a real problem.
Think people are actually not cussing as much during this week?
Oh, hell no.
How old are you?
7.
What do you think of No Cussing Week?
It's bullshit, man.
I think it's f***ing ridiculous.
Why is that?
How constitutional is South Pass right now? You know?
To all the ladies at South Pasadena High School who are having trouble keeping those potty mouths in check, I'd like to volunteer to help you shut the f*** up.
How old are you?
9.
You've been cussing all No Cussing Week long?
Yeah, pretty much.
What have you been saying?
Well, damn it, shut up. I've been doing the middle finger, all those things.
During No Cussing Week?
Yes, pretty much.
What do you have to say to the kid who's trying to start No Cussing Week?
Yeah, he is totally gay.
What do you think about the student who started all this?
Oh, I think he's a total douchebag.
I think he should butt out and spend more of his time doing homework instead of things like this.
I think you should grow a sack and swear.
Eat and die.
I think No Cussing Week is a big mistake.
Why is that?
Well, I think you need to put emphasis on your thoughts, and I think you need to curse to get your point across.
What do you have to say to my boss, Bean, who believes that cussing can interfere with people's ability to develop good communication skills?
No, I think Bean doesn't have any f***ing idea what we're talking about. Bean, you got to learn how to put emphasis into your speech patterns.
Give him an example.
Oh, like, Bean, you're a f***ing idiot.
How do you feel about No Cussing Week?
Bad.
Why?
Because I like cussing.
What are some of your favorite cuss words?
Crap.
You like saying those words, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want anybody telling you that you can't say those words?
Yeah.
What do you have to say to the kid who's trying to start No Cussing Week?
You.
I think it's a terrible idea.
Why?
What are you going to do when somebody cuts you off?
You need to cuss, right?
Absolutely. That's f***ing bullshit. I also believe it's bullshit. People should be able to say whatever they want, and I don't think it should be a school should tell people what to do.
What kind of f***ing kid eliminates cussing? He's in high school, for Christ's sakes. I take it you're not following No Cussing Week.
No, that's f***ing bullshit. Any f***ing person that's following all this is absolutely a f***ing moron.
Do you think that this infringes on our First Amendment rights?
Absolutely. We have the right to say whatever the f*** we want.
Last time I checked, this was what country?
United States of America.
If I could pass along a message to this kid who started No Cussing Week in South Pasadena, what would that message be, sir?
You're a dumb f***ing douchebag.
Oh, that's beautiful.
A lot of good reaction.
A lot of love.
That is beautiful. Accomplishing what he hoped to accomplish when he came up with it.
I really want to thank the students at South Pasadena High School and Marengo Elementary who are willing to go on record and talk about No Cussing Week.
Not that that's where any of those kids are from.
No, no.
Because they wouldn't be from there.
They would never be at that school because they're good schools and they have respectable students.
Correct. Well done. 6.7 K Rock is KROQ.
Come on,
it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:49.
That was good.
We need some kind of hand signal or something so that we're all on the same page.
How about this one?
No, it's no cussing.
We're gonna have to blur that finger, sir.
No cussing. Week.
Sorry. Hey, did we mention that Gwen Stefani joins us at Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon? Did we mention some of that? Maybe.
Sure.
Oh, I'm excited.
I love her so much.
She is so lovely and talented.
Yes.
And the guys in the band are just so great and talented and fun and cool. I cannot wait for this band to get together again.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah,
it's been too long. Time.
And play with Paramore.
I know.
Yeah.
Although we are going to need to hire a new assistant producer for the summer, I'm telling you, because Dave's going to be gone. He's going to be out of here on day one of that tour.
He is a roadie.
Again. And not one that they welcome.
It is Friday morning, 7:50. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What is going on?
Before I get to the beat, let's give away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Fast and the Furious 4. What do you say?
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel. Greatest movie of the year right here.
It happens on March 12th. It's at the Gibson Amphitheater. If you haven't seen a movie at the Gib, I got to tell you, it's quite an event.
You call it the Gib, do you?
I call it the Gib.
Yeah.
You know.
I haven't seen a movie there. Did they do that very often?
Not very often, but it is Universal Pictures, of course, is releasing Fast and Furious, and they are all in concert up there. So from time to time, they will do a big premiere event. I saw
Hugh Jackman in Van Helsing up there when he was the vampire hunter. And they had a big, big party afterwards and a big spread and all kinds of vampire mazes to go through. And everything was, you know, decorated. It was really an impressive party. And they're doing a big after party for this as well. And you'll get to go. You get to go to the screening as well as the after party. If you're one of the first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call to attend the red carpet premiere of Fast and the Furious on March 12th up there at the Gibson Amphitheater. Should be quite the event. The original cast, you got Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster, Michelle Rodriguez, all returning to the film that made it such a big hit. So,
you know what you won't see at that premiere is a lot of shuttle vans and Priuses.
No, probably won't see that.
Not for Fast and the Furious.
No, a lot of muscle cars and Humvees, I'm guessing. I also want to give you another heads up. I mentioned this earlier this week, but the auction that benefits Habitat for Humanity closes today at 5 p.m. So if you want to get a chance to get an autographed hard hat by one of your favorite celebrities, they're having the Habitat for Humanity Celebrity Hard Hat Auction. You can go to habitatla.org or closeoffourback.org and bid on a hard hat signed by your favorite celebrities. Inexplicably, still the highest bid so far is for a Ricky Martin autographed hard hat. Never thought Ricky Martin and hard hat would ever go together.
Yeah.
But $1,500.
Who's the celebrity least likely to wear one?
But there's a ton of celebrities you can get an autographed hard hat by, including Christian Bale, Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, Will Smith, Hugh Laurie, 30 Seconds to Mars, Green Day, Gavin Rosdale, U2, every member of U2, Linkin Park, Stevie Wonder, who signs his name remarkably well.
Does he?
Yes.
You read it?
I was surprised.
He has a stamp.
Does he? Is that how it works? Still no bids yet on the Fred Durst hat, though. I'm sorry to tell you. So if you want a Fred Durst autographed hard hat, you can get it for a song. And all of it goes to a very worthy cause. You want to check that out. She's back in London after her 71-day vacation in St. Lucia. And Amy Winehouse has already been slapped with an assault charge.
Oh, no. Really?
Since she's been back?
Yeah.
Wow.
She was in court yesterday. Apparently, the incident took place at a charity ball last year in London, but they haven't got around to charging her because she hasn't been in town.
Ah.
So when she got home, they said, would you mind stepping down to the courtroom, please? Mrs. Winehouse, we have some charges we'd like to slap you with. She got charged with common assault. You know, just your garden variety common assault.
But I mean, it wasn't very good?
It's a British term, I think, for... less than aggravated. Basic assault. She hit a fan at the charity auction.
She's a charity event, rather.
And she's due in court in 2 weeks to face the music for her charges. But she really can't get out of her own way. That young
Kevin
lady.
Still claims she's playing Coachella.
Absolutely. Saturday night.
We'll see. I also want to give you a heads up. I didn't mention this in movie view, but I had a couple of emails. People asking, can I bring my kids to Watchmen? Because it's a comic book movie.
Good question.
No. Not for the kids. Unless, an R-rated comic book movie.
Unless they're used to seeing giant blue glowing
If you
junk.
Want to see a giant blue glowing penis, then bring your kids by all means.
Apparently that's all through the movie?
It is very sexy and ultra-violent, and it's not for kids. Yeah, and his big blue penis is everywhere. So, just want to give you a heads up. Congratulations to Vince Vaughn. Our buddy Vince is engaged to his girlfriend, Kyla Weber. They got engaged on Valentine's Day, and... it's nice of him because she's Canadian, so I think it's nice of him to throw her a bone.
Get her a green card.
Yeah. Apparently, Vince shelled out $125,000 for the engagement ring.
Wow.
Kyla, by the way, is a real estate agent, not a celebrity in any way. She's a regular gal.
How about that?
There's
nice.
Hope for all you regular gals out there who want to land yourself a big movie star. Yeah, right. It's not easy to be a TV star either. Rob Lowe's complaining that he recently got a phone call from the president of ABC, who asked him to quit tanning because he looks...
Rob Lowe's not even on TV anymore.
He is. He's on Brothers and Sisters, B.
Yes.
No.
The ABC television program Brothers and Sisters.
Quit tanning?
Sunday night.
They thought he looked too tan, especially when he stood next to Calista Flockhart.
Oh, well, she's a ghost.
She needs to tan a little.
Please stop getting so golden bronzed, Rob. You look too dark next to Calista Flockhart.
You look too healthy.
Yeah. What a bizarre problem that is.
He said. He said, this is a very odd business when someone calls you and asks you please to be paler. He said he doesn't even go to like a tanning salon. He kayaks a lot. He lives in Montecito, California, and one of his favorite hobbies is to kayak on a local body of water there, and he gets a lot of sun. So he said it wasn't like I was trying to look tan. So now he says, I feel like a douchebag because I have to wear a giant hat strapped under my chin when I go out in my kayak.
That's a good look, though.
And I look like a loser. But he's doing his best to comply.
Hey, I'm no Mo, but Rob Lowe really so much better looking today than he was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Ridiculously good looking. Ridiculously.
Yeah, just amazing.
It's infuriating.
He's beautiful.
All right, easy.
He is.
He's a little brown for my taste. He's too tan.
A little too swarthy. Shia LaBeouf has learned his lesson after getting his DUI charge last July in that horrible accident. Apparently now he has a driver. Takes him everywhere he needs to go.
Attaboy.
That's what we've always wondered. Why
it certainly can afford it. You showbiz types, why run the risk? Anytime he goes out now, he's got a chauffeur.
Good for him.
And Star Magazine says because he is who he is, and he's a regular down-to-earth guy, he always sits in the front seat next to the guy, doesn't make him wear a uniform or anything, doesn't drive a big limo, just has a guy who drives him around. That's his job.
Smart.
Trying to be on the safe side of things, so smart move. Oh, are you just upset about all this controversy with Dancing with the Stars?
What controversy?
I'm not aware of.
Lisa, two of the stars have already dropped out.
What?
Don't you hate it when the big athletes get hurt during preseason?
You're saying there's going to be two fewer celebrities that I'm not going to watch?
They haven't even started the show yet, and two people have dropped out due to injuries.
Wow.
Injuries.
Well, that's why the preseason is too long.
I've always said the preseason is too long.
It's true. You got to get right into it.
You get your injured players, and you don't get to the Super Bowl. Jewel has dropped out.
Oh. That hurts.
She has a fractured tibia in both legs.
Oh, my God!
Both legs.
From dancing.
What? She needs to eat more healthy.
How is it
possible? Drink some more milk.
Yeah.
How is it possible to hurt both at the same place?
This is pretty grueling, apparently, this
it's
rehearsal
they grueling.
Do for
it can't
dancing.
Be.
Still, both legs?
Fractured tibias in both legs. Hairline fractures. I mean, no, they're not compound. They're not sticking up.
She got hit by a car on the way to dance?
She's not John Locke with the bone sticking out of her thigh.
Right, but wow.
But, yeah, she is she's out.
All right.
And Nancy O'Dell, who is one of the hosts of Access Hollywood, she's out because she's got a torn meniscus in her knee, and that requires surgery.
Oh my gosh. So she won't be dancing.
So we're two down already, and the show hasn't even started.
That's it. I'm out.
It seems like every season there are some serious injuries. I mean, this show is tough for average people to compete on.
Word is they're going to try to plug in Holly Madison, one of Hef's former girlfriends from Girls Next Door.
Good call.
To take one of the slots that's available. No word yet on who the second celebrity will be, but... I'd like to see Holly Madison in some tight dance gear.
Yes,
Russell Brand.
Plug.
Russell Brand on Dancing with the Stars. We'll ask him if he'll join when we talk to him next. And Heroes is in trouble, people.
Hey.
Heroes over there on NBC.
Yeah.
He's in big trouble. The ratings have not been good this season.
Neither is the show.
They've been on the bubble. I thought it was good this season. I'm enjoying it this season.
I don't know. I didn't watch it this season.
I'm lost, too.
The Heroes are on the run, basically. Nathan Petrelli has become sort of a right-wing lunatic. He's gathering up all the heroes, trying to put them in confinement because he thinks they're a threat to American society, even though he's one himself.
That's a puzzle.
But, the ratings have not been good. However, NBC says they want to give them a chance to build back those numbers, so they have ordered another season, but just 10 episodes. For the next season. And if the ratings get better, they'll order some additional episodes, according to NBC's entertainment division.
Well, I'll tell you, in this economy, that's pretty good news.
Yeah.
Considering they're actually sticking with them for a little bit.
Exactly. So see if we give them a shot or not. And there's a big battle going on. Big battle going on between Arcade Fire and the Flaming Lips. Have you heard about this?
Oh, no.
Big feud.
Big feud? No.
Apparently, Wayne Coyne of Flaming Lips says that he doesn't like Arcade Fire. He says they treat their crew and their fans like crap, and he's tired of their pompousness.
No, he didn't.
So it is on. Flaming Lips versus Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
WWE. Steel cage match.
They couldn't find a venue small enough to host that fight if those two decided to get together.
How dare you?
So that people who cared about it would show up.
I like Arcade Fire.
I do too.
I like both of those bands a lot, but who cares whether they like each other?
I'd like to see them fight. I would like to see that.
You want the tickets for the Beatles reunion?
Nope.
Beatles are getting back together.
How?
Well, half the Beatles are getting back together.
I may not be an aficionado, but...
Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr will be performing together at the David Lynch Foundation benefit in New York City next month. Paul and Ringo performing together live on stage.
Okay.
David Lynch.
I'd like to see the Beatles together.
That's what he said. It's only going to cost you, Kevin,
They're going to charge me?
Yeah, it's a charity event.
Oh.
Per ticket, what do you think they're getting for the Beatles reunion? For the cheap, let's just go for the cheapest seat. The cheapest seat.
$200 or something.
$1,250 for the cheap seats.
Oh, fuck you.
For the fancy pants package, this means you get to meet Paul and Ringo. You get to the post-concert party. You get to have dinner at the event. For the fancy pants tickets.
Are they calling them the fancy pants tickets?
No, that's what we call them for April Foolishness. Yeah. $100,000 per ticket.
Oh, dude. No.
No.
Hi, how are you?
But at least they're raising money for a worthwhile cause, right, Ralph?
Yes.
Nope.
David Lynch.
Kids meditating in schools is what he's raising money for.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's the David Lynch Foundation.
That's his thing. Kids need to meditate in schools.
Coop, I think more children need to meditate. I'd like them to do it in their schools, Coop.
So there you go. Kevin should pay $100,000 to go see the two remaining Beatles.
What's the point of that?
Dude, some drumming and some singing. That's
yeah.
what you get to see right
well, are there. They doing Beatles songs?
No, they're doing, oddly enough, they're doing all songs by ABBA.
Hmm.
I thought it was strange.
No,
that
is
weird.
They
will be doing Beatles songs.
Yeah,
no. Today's celebrity birthdays, Shaquille O'Neal, former Los Angeles Laker, now currently playing with the Phoenix Suns, is 37 years old today. Actor D.L. Hughley, who sadly had his CNN show canceled this week, he is 45. Tom Arnold is 50. Rob Reiner, one of my favorite actor-directors. Talk about a body of work. This guy silently has put together just hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak when he does it?
No, he's sort of been below the radar.
You're busy eating.
You know, a few good men this guy's done. American President. Spinal Tap, of course. This is Spinal Tap. His
sure.
Classic. Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got quite a body of work. He is 62 years old as well. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 63, and TV personality Ed McMahon celebrates his 86th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When I first saw our next guest in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I thought, wow, look at that guy. They really had to put some crazy makeup and some wild clothing. Look what they did to his hair. That was so bizarre to me. And I thought, who's the actor that's doing that?
What an unbelievable character they've created.
Turned out to be Russell Brand. As is.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
Right. Really, right?
I did have to pretend to have a different name.
Yes.
So, all right. That was a stretch.
I'm disappointed to have been overlooked by the Academy. Because I actually respond to an entirely different word.
Two words.
But what a stretch to play a rude and obnoxious womanizer as in that movie, too, though, Russell.
Hey, obnoxious. You can't successfully womanize if you're obnoxious.
That's
they
true.
Recoil from obnoxiousness.
That's true.
That is true. Right? And you're legendary for that. Is that correct?
Thank you very much.
Your book does start in sex rehab. What is it called?
I dubbed it Winky Nick or Sex Chokey as idiomatically, but uh-huh. Yes, a recovery center or treatment center for sexual addiction is what they'd like it to be referred to.
Okay.
In order to encourage further perverts. If it's called Sex Chokey, some people, again, may recoil from it.
Yeah, sure. I can see that.
Now, here's what I don't understand about you going to sex addiction. I understand the guys who are crazy obsessed with sex all the time but can't get it, so it frustrates them to the point where they can't do anything else with their lives. But a guy like you who's addicted to sex and can have it whenever you want, why bother going to rehab for that?
That was the problem, Bean. When I was listening to a lot of the other perverts, I was thinking, oh, no, I'm not having that problem on the internet all day or calling up those centres. No, 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 I'm just having a lot of lovely dates with some very attractive women, and I promptly checked out.
No, you did. You knew it wasn't for you at that point.
No, no, it was an interesting experience. It was just, because I have a tendency towards addiction, I thought I would look at it, because I used to, you know, be addicted to crack and heroin, which was much more serious. Much,
right.
It's worse for your health than
that's
sex.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You used to do drugs on stage? You got to at that point?
I tried to incorporate it in the show, because otherwise, like, if I was away from drugs for more than an hour, I started to feel ever so ill. So I thought, well, you're going to have to incorporate it into the show. So, you know, with a little bit of a flourish and a tiny bit of aluminium foil, I was able to keep myself healthy for long enough to get an encore.
Russell, I read several chapters of your book. In fact, I regretted late last night having to put it down, because it was right after you first got hired at MTV is when I had to stop reading the thing. And I'm really interested to find out all the adventures that you've had since then. But I got the impression that you're one of those guys who, if you had not stumbled into the world of entertainment, you probably would be either dead or in prison right now, because I don't think any real job would have ever made you happy enough to stick with it, and you just would have resorted to just a life of crime or drugs and killed yourself.
You're quite right, Bean, in your analysis.
I'm so happy about
that,
it.
Yeah. That is what I was told. Accurate. Yeah, they said when I was forced to go into rehabilitation for drugs and alcohol, the man said, "This is your choice is either this or prison or death." Or a lunatic asylum, he did offer up as well. Wow. I thought about those options, and though I did enjoy the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I think they romanticised it to a point, and R.P. McMurphy did end up getting choked to death. So, in the end, I thought, yeah. But you're quite right, yeah, my options were limited.
Who told you that you needed to go into rehab? Was it the same kind of guiding person through your life? You have different people? Well, management, family?
It was management. Until I met those people, in fact, my life had been... I didn't have, like, a sort of a strong person in my life to bully me and coerce me into rehabilitation. And I think that's why I was rattling around like a lunatic, is because I didn't really know how to live, you know. Just knew that I wanted to show off for a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's difficult. I didn't have proper parameters. There's a lot of people with chronic drug addiction don't. You don't know how to conduct yourself public-wise.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
So I was very, very fortunate that I met those people.
Yeah.
And now
I'm... Thank God you discovered comedy, though.
Thank God.
Literally a lifesaver for you is discovering, hey, I can make people laugh. This is something that kind of gives me a purpose and a reason to be.
Yeah, you're quite right. Redemption through comedy. Until I started doing, you know, I was doing stand-up comedy while still a drug addict, and it was much, much less funny and more tragic. Involved a lot of sort of violence, arrests, got beaten up on stage several times.
Is there any video of you getting beaten up on stage?
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of that.
Was it because of what you said?
Yeah, I would say unconventional things that couldn't be justified because of the drugs. I would sort of like to... I'm always interested in challenging ideas and subversive ideas, but now, as a more experienced and skillful man, I'm capable of communicating it. On drugs, I would just blurt things like, F the police, or society's falling apart. And people would say, you've not researched these ideas, I will fight you.
Now, the day after September 11th, you were still on drugs?
I was on a lot of drugs on the September the 12th, 2001, Kevin. I'd like to make that clear, as I know what you're about to say.
Well, it's one of the things that everybody has heard about you, is that you showed up to work at MTV?
Yes, at MTV.
Dressed as Osama bin Laden.
It was foolish.
That cannot have seemed like a good... plan
I don't
in
know
retrospect.
Why I did that now. I mean, well, like, it's really, like, it was, I definitely wouldn't have done that on crack and heroin. I promise you that ever since I've stopped taking drugs, I have never once dressed as Osama
like
bin Laden ever since then. I've made terrible fashion choices, but I've never done anything that disrespectful.
I would guess it's I'm making a living by doing the opposite of what everybody expects, and that you just don't think it through, and you just...
Right. Yeah, and then there's something a little bit fascinating about sort of taboo in general.
Sure.
If something, you're not supposed to do something, don't you sometimes think occasionally, like, oh, what would happen if I just suddenly threw this hot tea in that lady's face? It's not that you want to do it to the lady, it's just that you feel like the knowledge that you could do it. And when I was on drugs, I didn't know the distinction of things that you think and things that you do.
Right.
So I just saw it all as a sort of an illusion.
When you stopped doing drugs, how difficult, how scary was it to go on stage without that crutch?
It was terrifying, Lisa.
I would imagine.
Really scared at first. So difficult. But then I began to recognise adrenaline as just preparation for needing energy and excitement and showing off. But I was so frightened without it.
Yeah.
At first it was awful.
This is going to be a difficult question for me to phrase properly, but bear with me, Russell. And I know you're such an eloquent speaker that I'm afraid you're going to tear my question apart.
I won't do that. I'm a gentleman.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Do it if you can.
I'm sure a lot of people think you're a dick, or in your language, a wanker. If you weren't you, do you think you would like or tolerate someone like you?
I am me, and sometimes I find it difficult to tolerate. You know, sometimes it's criminal being me, but, you know, the punishment and the crime are the same thing. Sometimes it's difficult being me, but it's, you know, I'm penalised constantly. And sort of, I know this as well. Like, a lot of the things, really, I've got the light of God in me. I want only goodness. I only want to make people happy and make people laugh. And sometimes people are sort of wound up by some of the stuff I do. Like, I get in a lot of trouble and a lot of scandals and a lot of controversy and all that. But when I was younger, I was always getting arrested and in trouble with the police, and it's more serious. And when, after what I've been through, I can handle people. And I sort of think, you know, if you've got a problem with someone, really the problem is with you. I don't have no negative feelings towards anybody, only love. And when I am irritated by someone, like, oh, I don't like him, look at his trousers, it's normally
because I think I'd like those trousers.
So you would be able to tolerate a friend like you if there were somebody who does the same sort of thing you did. You'd be able to hang out with that person and
not
respect them.
How I was when I was on drugs, and no, to the people that knew me then, I'd like to continue my ongoing apology. Yeah. My life is an endless apology.
I was
going to
ask how many things people have surprised you with, had told you, by the way, you blah 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 blah.
Oh
blah.
My God, terrible things about Russell. Do you not remember when you walked into that room full of refugees, fully naked, and got into bed with that old lady and all those children, and then you had to be removed from there? I don't remember doing that. Well, you did do it. Here's the photograph.
Wow. And then you go, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another
what
thing.
What can you do?
My life is like my name is Earl. Series of apologies for the past.
All right. This is a fascinating conversation, but we do have to take a break. The guest in studio, by the way, this morning is Russell Brand. The book is called My Bookie Wook, A Memoir of Sex, Drugs, and Stand-Up, and it is a very, very interesting read, and it is available in bookstores everywhere on Tuesday, I guess, is when it comes out.
Yes.
It comes out on this Tuesday. And the special that we'll also talk about when we come back is Russell Brand in New York City, and that airs on your TV this Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central. Russell Brand is here. We'll take a break and come back with more after this on Comedian Russell Brand in our studio. The book is in stores Tuesday called My Bookie Wook, A Memoir of Sex, Drugs, and Stand-Up. Also, the comedy special airs this Sunday night at 10 on the Comedy Central called Russell Brand in New York City. Lisa was just saying she's seen some of it already. Very, very funny.
It is.
Looking forward to that. By the way,
were you on drugs when you came up with Bookie Wook?
No.
You were
not.
That's
just childishness.
Okay, just checking.
And also, it's like, you know that film Clockwork Orange?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, they all talk like that in that book, and it's, I kind of think it's all dead poetic, and it disrupts sort of mundanity to use language in a silly, childish way. Bookie book. Nice. It interrupts your head. It's a strange thing to think.
R. McNeil, listening right now, writes in, can you guys hurry up and get the Geico lizard off the air? No, it's actually Russell Brand who is here with us, not the lizard from the TV commercials.
That lizard is racist against my culture.
There you go.
Like a lawsuit.
Now, Russell, let's talk about the MTV Awards, because you hosted those last September?
Last summer.
I did do that.
Yeah.
And it didn't go swimmingly well.
Well, it did in a way.
It seemed rough.
It was hard. There really are them award shows, you know, because it's all for celebrities and famous people.
Right.
They, you know, it's really hard
They're
to
not
make
a great
them sit quietly.
Comedy audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Plus, I said some things. I said that thing about George W. Bush. That caused a lot of aggravation, and
you
not
did?
To mention death threats. So it's like,
you
it
got
was
death threats for that?
Actual death threats. But the thing about death threat is, really, it's just an advance warning. Anyone who's serious about killing you, they won't
tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone knows, I thought, well, I'll just do some press-ups. I'm ready.
Did you get in trouble or get complaints for saying vote for Obama?
Yeah.
You did that too?
Death threats.
What?
Not complaints.
You know,
beyond complaints, death threats.
It's weird because at most of these award shows, I mean, most entertainers are fairly politically liberal.
Yeah.
Like, you could say
I
that at
so
the
too.
Academy Awards and everyone would be like, woo!
Well, he didn't get death threats from people in the audience, I don't guess. I mean, I imagine it was...
There was a quick death threat. I'm going to kill you, someone said. No, there were no death threats from the actual audience.
Just
retrospectively, people saw it on the telly and thought, right, well, I'm going to kill him. I think what it might be is because I'm English and, like I was saying, how to vote for, and perhaps it brought back colonial memories of how dare the English come over here, tell me how to vote. But all I meant was...
We kicked your asses once, we'll do it again.
Right. But hold on, the leaders of that revolution would have been English military. So in a way, we won that revolution with, because like, I think like the sort of the military strategists that would have led the American Revolution would have been English military.
Ah,
so in a way, this is...
Either way you win.
That's the way I look at it.
I mean,
history has shown that America has become a dominant cultural force. I'm not denying that. I mean, like, you know, the English industry has somewhat faltered, but in a way, our language continues to triumph. Witness that gecko.
And Bookie
Russell,
Bookie.
What? How do you get along? And again, a difficult question because you're such a complicated young man. But how do you get along with the famous people that you now come in contact with on a fairly regular basis? Because you yourself have become famous.
Well, some of them are my mates, sort of in England, like my friends, like are like, you know, Noel Gallagher out of Oasis.
Yes.
He's a really good mate of mine. Tends to be people that have it's sort of just normal, you know,
Liam.
Apart from his extraordinary talent.
Liam's a dick.
Liam, he's lovely, but he's complicated, you know what I mean? He's like, it's difficult when someone's got an awful lot of sexual charisma. I think it's like, it's hard for him to be normal.
I like him and I like them, but he's he's got some rough edges.
He's difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really... It's funny to have a normal conversation with him. I talked to him once about buying a house, and he's like, yeah, I'm getting this cottage. It's, like, beautiful. It's got a lemon paint job outside it. It's a beautiful cottage. And, like, it's like you sort of go, oh, come on, take some drugs. Something so silly. You're not buying a cottage. Smash now, something up. Knock something over.
What's the bond with you and, say, a guy like Noel Gallagher? Is it just football? Is that what brought you kids together?
Yeah, we're both football fans, but also it's just like he's really funny and likes mucking about and being daft and not taking life too seriously. A recognition that everything's going to pass. You might as well enjoy yourself. And he's a funny human being. Him, like when I go to him, oh, can I use Rock and Roll Star to come out to at the VMA Awards? He goes, yeah, because then there'll be a bloke coming, like a bloke that they've never seen before, coming out to a song that no one's ever heard of. That was his.
He does have a great sense of humor.
He's got a lovely turn.
I thought it was so interesting in your book. And again, if you're just joining us, Russell Brand is our guest, and we're talking about My Bookie Wook, his memoir of sex, drugs, and stand-up in stores Tuesday. I thought it was fascinating that you, unlike so many teenagers, did not grow up loving and listening to rock and roll. It was always about comedy for you. And you say how you used to listen to Richard Pryor albums and the like and memorize them just like you were listening to a rock and roll music album. That was the soundtrack of your youth.
Yeah, yeah. My obsession was with comedy and language and words. I mean, I'm really into like Morrissey and the Smiths and Oasis and like T-Rex and stuff. Like, you know, there's like Mutant Bowie. There's like loads of music I'm into. But like, yeah, comedy was always my obsession. That was the thing that spoke to me. That was the thing that sort of defined who I am. Like how for people, music is their escape from like the stuff that they're fleeing.
Yeah.
For me, that was always like jokes.
Now, is stand-up your favorite thing about comedy, or do you like acting, or where do you want to go?
No, I'd like stand-up best because of the immediacy, because you can do what you want, that the only censor is yourself, and I'm, like, pretty lax. I let things get through all the time.
You're not a very good censor?
No, yeah. I let all sorts of stuff get said that should just never have come out, you know, death threat.
Do you ever go back and apologize for stuff that you didn't mean to come out that way? Because we know, we have a job where we talk a lot, and sometimes we say things that... they come out wrong, you didn't mean it that way, but everybody seems to get all upset.
Right, and also, like, you know, if you're sort of mucking about with your mates and being honest to yourself, you don't really mean to hurt no one's feelings.
Right.
You're like, oh no, that will affect people's genuine lives.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes I do. If ever I actually upset someone, I think, oh, that's okay. But if you're just pricking people's prejudices and making people confront stuff, then I think that's all right. But if you say something to them, like if an old lady gets upset somewhere in a carriage, well, I don't want that.
Now, Russell, I didn't have the time to read the lengthy, involved, complicated article, but I get the sense from some of the headlines this morning that you've recently lost a job at BBC Radio 2. Is that so?
Yes. Because, again, I used to do a radio show on BBC Radio 2, not unlike your radio show in that it's very sort of audience-led and listener-led and very open and normal talking, and plus mates. Like, cause I used to do it with Noel Gallagher and my mate Matt, and we used to just all muck about, and it was very sort of hysterically fast-paced and a lot of stupid... Like, if more people had listened to it, I think I'd already been in prison by now. But blessedly, it was kind of a cult thing, and, like, you know, sort of like... It got about, like, I don't know, about like a million listeners, but it was sort of like it was a bit under the radar in terms of the mainstream. But we caused a bit of a controversy when Jonathan Ross, who's, like, our country's Letterman, came on the show, and he's like a mate of mine. And previously to this, some months earlier, I'd had relations. Bill Clinton would call them relations.
Yes.
I'd had relations with this member of a burlesque dance group called the Satanic Sluts, right?
Okay, good.
And it turned out she was the granddaughter of Manuel from 40 Towers, a sitcom that I love, written by Python's John Cleese.
Right.
By
okay, I'm trying to keep all the names straight here, right?
Yeah, so Manuel, he's the waiter, the Spanish waiter. His granddaughter from the Satanic Sluts was part of an evening I enjoyed once, and I mentioned this to Jonathan Ross, and I said, oh, Manuel's coming on the show, and guess what, here's a funny coincidence, I had relations with his granddaughter who's from the Satanic Sluts. That had been mentioned, and then Manuel didn't turn up on the show. It was a phone interview, and so we just left an answer phone message on his phone going, all right, Manuel, really love you, love 40 Towers, and I respect you and your family. Then Jonathan Ross in the background, the brilliant broadcaster, like imagine David Letterman doing this, went, he effed your granddaughter, and like suddenly it was like, oh no, the cat's out of the bag. And then we had to leave a series of answer phone messages like the film Swingers, trying to make it better.
No.
We made it worse.
Try it again. No. Oh, try it again.
Sorry. And then I ended up improvising a song. Apologise for these attacks. act. I did some things I didn't have ought to, like I had sex with your granddaughter. But it was spontaneous and made up, and it led to a lot of trouble. And then the Daily Mail and privately owned media, like, they want to destroy the BBC because they feel they can't fairly compete with the BBC because it's publicly funded. So when anything goes wrong with the BBC, they write into it. Plus anything that's sort of youth cultural and a bit sort of lackadaisical on the old moral front, the Daily Mail sort of kick right into it. Right. So it got a bit out of control. It was naughty, because that's the thing, because for a moment I thought, oh, it's not very nice that he'll have heard that answer phone message. That will upset him. So I feel that that's bad. But it caused proper OJ-style hysteria.
Yeah.
Like, went balmy.
Yeah, and then at some point you go, how did it become this?
Yeah, and you think, it can't be real. That can't be about the essential event. It's about sort of subsequent things that are attached to it. And it's sort of dead mad when it gets to that
because
point.
I mean, but his granddaughter was in a group by that name.
She was in the Satanic Sluts.
Yeah, come on!
Like, because she's a granddaughter, she's not a granddaughter in a Toffee Apple commercial in a gingham dress on a swing. She was on a swing, but not that matter. She was from the Satanic Sluts. Now, that doesn't deny people the right to be treated as humans, but it does deny them the right to be treated like granddaughters.
Yes, yeah. Now, you must be sad, though, because it seems like a radio show would be something you would adore.
I loved it. Yeah, like, it was a right proper laugh. Noel Gallagher would just come on it. Like, he was like, you'd forget that it was Noel Gallagher from Oasis. And then when I'd go to a gig, I'd go, bloody hell, that's him. That's that bloke from our radio show. You'd forget all the power and talent that he had. It was a proper amazing experience. I loved it, but it was, you know, silly what I did, but I apologised for it. And it became sort of a media civil war.
That happens here all the time.
Does it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, people have been
fired. You got nothing to apologise for. You made the right call. That's very, very funny.
Thank you much. I've been redeemed by Bean.
We're out of time, but wow, what an interesting dude you are. And the book is fascinating. You ought to pick it up. It comes out on Tuesday. My Bookie Wook, A Memoir of Sex, Drugs, and Stand-Up. I don't see any kind of in-store opportunities for your fans to meet you here, but perhaps later in the book tour you might come back.
I'll come back to Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm doing well in New York, I think.
And the Russell Brand in New York City comedy special looks very funny. We have some clips up at KROQ.com if you want to check it out. That airs Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central. Russell, thanks for coming in, my friend.
Thanks for being so lovely, all of you.
Thank you. No Doubt with Paramore and the Sounds. This is the show of the summer, July 31st and August 1st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets you can win all weekend long. We have already given away a couple of pair here this morning. By the way, don't forget, our friend Gwen Stefani joins us at Cinco de la Tarde in the 5 o'clock hour today. So that's a good deal.
Oh, let's talk about things that don't matter. Oh, we're Kevin and Bean. Blah, blah, blah.
Roland.
Oh, comedy show. Blah, blah, blah.
Roland,
Gwen Stefani. Blah, blah, blah. Some British guy. Blah, blah, blah.
How do you get on the air, Roland?
I hack into your communication system.
I thought we had the engineering stop that so you couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, your crack engineering staff really can keep me out.
Why
you guys put like two tin cans and a string between your studios.
Why are you interrupting today? What are we doing?
I'm furious with you.
What?
Because you're not talking about the most important thing that has happened in 23 years. The Watchmen movie!
We covered that last hour. Ralph was in here. He did the movie beat. He saw the movie.
Ralph.
He talked about the movie. He liked the movie. What?
Whatever. One mention from Ralph?
Played clips. We've been talking about it all week, pretty much.
No, you haven't.
Well, pretty much.
Oh, I've seen it 8 times already.
It hasn't come out yet.
It's out today.
Right.
Midnight shows Thursday night. Hello.
Well, you can only go to one.
At Universal Studios, standing outside the owl ship.
Oh, wow.
That's the craft that the night owl flies in. So cool.
If he's an owl, why does he need a ship? Why can't he just fly?
He's not a real owl. Oh. He's a man who dresses as an owl to battle crime.
I see. Okay. Look, it's not like this is something we're not aware of. It's not like it's something where they're not excited about. We're going to go to the movie. It looks good. We've mentioned that it's coming out. I don't know how much more you expect us to do today.
Well, how about talk about it nonstop all day?
I don't think we can really do
that. Why can't
that?
You do that?
Well, it seems like we've done a lot. Just not enough for you.
I really have been blown away by every interview you've had with the entire cast from Watchmen. That's been impressive. Well, oh, no, you haven't talked to one of them.
Yeah. It's not like we didn't ask. We would have been happy to talk to Dr. Manhattan or Silk Spectre, but they didn't come on.
Oh, Silk Spectre and Night Owl have sex in the owl ship.
Really?
They are flying over the city, and they have actual sex in the owl ship. And you can totally see her booby.
Is that the first sex you've ever seen?
No.
So yes?
I walked in on my mom once.
Oh, right.
With her boyfriend, Carl.
Oh, that's sad. When you have sex in the owl ship, that's a euphemism for what? He flips her over, or what's the deal?
No, they're in the owl ship, and they have sex.
I know.
I am not giving you anything oblique. It's exactly what it is.
Literally.
It really is.
Yes. I see. Okay. All right.
And Dr. Manhattan has a huge blue penis.
Yeah, we have heard about
that. I've heard that there's a lot of that.
I don't know how Silk Spectre can be satisfied with Night Owl after being with Dr. Manhattan. Plus, he can separate himself so she can have a menage a trois with just him.
Well, that seems useful.
It seems like
crazy.
It seems like maybe you're missing the point of the Watchmen, though. I don't think it's supposed to be sex.
I know every point of the Watchmen.
Okay.
I'm just to see my sexual fantasies come to life on the big screen was a little bit more than I could handle.
I gotcha.
Okay. Luckily, I was wearing Depends.
Oh, right.
I'm sure you were.
I always wear them every comic book movie, so I don't have to waste any time going to the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
You don't miss anything. All right, here's the question.
After eight viewings, it's time to change.
Yeah, I can see
that. Here's the question for you, Roland, because a lot of people are not maybe as into the sci-fi and the comic world as you are.
Losers.
How would you okay, maybe they are. But how would you compare this movie for the casual movie-going fan to, say, The Dark Knight or Iron Man?
This movie is Schindler's List of comic book movies.
Wow.
Is that good?
Yes. It's dark and disturbing. It's even darker than Dark Knight.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And that had dark in the title.
It did. That's true.
But this is even darker and more disturbing because it's more realistic.
Ah, okay.
And it has
right.
political and sexual overtones.
I got you. All right. Okay, are you satisfied now that we got the word out that The Watchmen's in theaters today?
I'll be satisfied when you talk about it with Gwen Stefani.
Not going to.
That's this
not
afternoon.
Gonna,
I'm
probably not going to bring all. That up.
Hi, Gwen Stefani. What do you think of Watchmen?
Probably not.
Would you ever date the comedian after he raped Silk Spectre 1?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But
that's all right. I'll call in.
Thanks for your input.
No,
not,
right, I'll
you're
chime
not
in.
Needed. You're
I'll
not
chime
needed.
In. That's it, okay.
We don't need you. Thank you, though, Roland.
Watchmen.
Okay.
I see us singing a little song about bogarting some joints here in a few minutes, and I see us coming on back for Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon at 5 with our special guest, Gwen Stefani from No Doubt, to talk all about the reunion and the big plans they have for the summer and everything else that's new in Gwenland. So that's what we've got planned for K-Rock today. In the meantime, Ralph's showing up for the last Showbiz Beat of the Morning. What's happening?
In deference to your pal, Roland.
Yeah, very upset.
Got some news from Us Weekly Magazine about Malin Ackerman, who plays Silk Spectre 2 in the film.
Roland doesn't think much of you, Ralph.
I can tell. I can tell by the hostility in his voice.
I don't know what you had to do. You went to the movie. You liked the movie. You endorsed the movie. Yet somehow he didn't think he did enough for
it. Never enough for that geek.
Yeah.
She spent 2 months training with a Navy SEAL to get in shape for the film.
And
which is so great because the guy that she plays opposite, Patrick Wilson, who plays Night Owl,
mm-hmm.
and they have sex together, he had to gain about 20 pounds of flab to play the character because the guy's supposed to be sort of a gone-to-pot former superhero who's
really?
Kind of let himself go. And he gets to have hot sex with this smoking hot actress. She had to get into shape with a Navy SEAL. He had to eat donuts for 6 months.
That
Damn.
Doesn't seem fair.
That's awesome.
Now, is she naked through the whole movie?
No. She's naked just in the sex
The blue
scenes.
Guy is, but not her.
Yeah, blue dude is, but not her.
She's in great shape.
She wears skin-tight latex, though.
Okay. All right.
Which she says was so tight and so constricting and so hard to get off that she couldn't go to bathroom normally.
Oh, yeah.
She had to sort of pull the entire unit to the side in order to go to the bathroom.
Are we still talking? Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any camel in the movie?
There is some superhero camel, yeah.
It'd be hard to avoid if it's that tight.
She's got these latex suit and then these stockings and these boots and everything. She just looks smoking hot in the movie.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Megan Fox. Speaking of hot chicks. You want to know how to get through to Megan Fox? You know how to get over on her?
Roofies.
Make it a good impression? Not roofies.
Not roofies, no.
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes?
Cupcakes. Apparently she's hooked on cupcakes.
I love her.
Aren't we all?
Fox News spotted her ducking into a Beverly Hills bakery this week, and she got a bunch of cupcakes. Apparently, for the record, she likes cappuccino and red velvet. Those are her two favorite cupcakes. You know, put that
notes.
In the dossier. Yeah.
Bean, do not put those at her front door, for God's
sake.
Well, I do have a 22-inch waist.
I don't know
I
how she does it.
I can just hear him thinking that.
Yeah, me too.
With the cupcakes.
Remember when he made the actress move because he opened Nutty Buddy on the bar?
Uh-huh. Never happens.
Ugly. Yeah.
Happened. So happened.
Yep.
Michael Jackson is going to play 10 concerts in London's O2 Arena.
And then what?
That's it. That is it.
Really?
That is it.
But
this is it.
But
when
how
he
can
says,
you be sure?
When he says the words, it. This is it.
This is it.
What does that mean?
Here's Michael at his press conference.
These will be my final show performances in London. This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Okay.
Because
That's not it, though, right?
I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear.
But then some more concerts will be coming in London.
This is it. Oh. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is the final curtain call.
Can you do some more concerts?
I love you.
Is it going to be followed up by more shows?
We'll do more shows.
I really
in London,
do.
Though, right?
You have to know that I love you so much.
And then some more shows in London.
Really, huh? From the bottom of my heart.
And then more shows.
This
in
is
London.
It. Oh. And see you in July.
But then that's it.
This is it.
It sounds like that's it.
I think it's it.
Sounds like
I
it.
I bet that's not it.
This is it.
Is that it? Or
we don't know yet.
You mean, are they? Are you joking?
Oh. No.
Because, yes, I mean, because we were joking. Guessing earlier today that if it went well, he might add on, you know, whatever. I don't know.
I just got the, I just assumed this was the kickoff of a big
right.
world tour.
I would
he's
going to
make one more go around. He's going to kick it off on Monday.
He hasn't
so when
committed,
he says
though.
This is it, that no. doesn't mean
he's
this
saying
is
that's it.
It
for London.
Oh, well,
these
10
shows are the final London shows, but he may add additional dates around the world. We'll have to wait and see.
And then every city he goes
to every
goes,
city.
This
yeah.
is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is it. I love you, but this is it. I'm not coming back to Pittsburgh. This is it,
but
Pittsburgh.
You pointed out earlier, Ralph, that he looks surprisingly healthy and robust, which is a Michael Jackson we haven't seen in years. In his previous personal appearances, he's so always so frail. You can't imagine him touring, but this guy looked like he might be able to do it.
Roids.
Really?
Well, absolutely
maybe.
Roids.
What else could it be?
Roids.
Wow.
This is it, roids.
This is it.
She's 50 years old, and she's still making headlines.
Who?
Barbie. You know the doll Barbie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have just released, Mattel has just released, Totally Stylin' Tattoo Barbie.
Tattoo Barbie?
Barbie comes with tattoos you can put all over her body.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the girls who play with Barbie can also put tattoos on themselves with this tattoo gun that comes with it.
Wow, excellent. Parents must love
parents
that.
Parents are incensed, Lisa.
Is one of them called a tramp stamp?
Yes.
Excellent.
The Target, it's called. Parents are furious with tattoo Barbies, as you can imagine, saying it sends the wrong message to their young preteen daughters who will grow up to emulate her.
What were they thinking? How could they not realize
listen,
this?
These parents need to shut up.
Well, but you know that that's going to happen.
Sales have been mixed. However, the doll is sold out in Riverside.
Oh,
no,
sure.
No surprises yeah. there.
Pre-orders.
And mullet Barbies go like crazy.
Comes with a
think before you ink.
Comes with a companion couch potato Ken who sits in front of the television with a six pack and says
dip.
I like when they move into her dream trailer. So it's a whole package set it comes with. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Shaquille O'Neal's 37 years old today. D.L. Hughley, star of the Hughleys for a short time, and also his own show on CNN, which sadly was canceled this week. He's 45. Tom Arnold is 50. Rob Reiner is 62. Dave Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 63 years old today. And legendary TV personality Ed McMahon, currently struggling in the hospital with some issues. We wish him the best. He's 86 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat. And you know, it has been premiere week all week long with Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy's had some amazing guests this week. Last night he had Donald Trump on talking about the Celebrity Apprentice. Serena Williams was on as well. They played a game of beer pong, and she crushed Jimmy Fallon, just crushed him. On tonight, the final episode of premiere week, his old buddy Drew Barrymore will be stopping by, and Chase Crawford, P.I., from Gossip Girl will also be making his appearance. That is Jimmy Fallon's Late Night Show. Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, 12:30 a.m. follows The Tonight Show with Jay Leno on NBC.
Thank you, Ralph. This afternoon we have Gwen Stefani. On Monday we have a little guy by the name of Dave Gahan.
Dave Gahan. Dave Gahan. Wow.
Join us this afternoon at 5 and then we'll see you on Monday.
Won't you?
Well said.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Chicks love wang bone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, whipped it out. I mean, gross.
Roll another one.
Come on.
Just like the other one.
What's up with that?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Speaking of tattoos, our own personal Barbie doll, Kat Corbett, is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including The Rise Against. We also have Oasis Online and Foo Fighters, Smashing Pumpkins, Vampire Weekend, and more straight ahead.
Roll. Another
Expand on that.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, Eric.
This one seems to be a mountain.
Oh, good for
you.
How old are you?
7.
What do you think of No Cussing Week?
Bullshit, man.
Well, fuck up that joint.
Oh, no.
Just pass it around.
I like the balls in L.A.
I think we just crossed the line.
Just pass it on down.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
Okay, you know, this is over.
I agree.
I think you did the best you could, but this is bigger than all of us.
I had a lot of fun. Is there any chance we can come back and do this some other time?
Yes, sure.
Had to think about that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I just got 3 thank yous. Thank God, thank my family, and thank y'all.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Onions, baby onions. Raptors win, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over.
Cabin of Beans, Cinco de la Tarde on the air for a Friday afternoon on the world-famous K-Rock. Of course, K-Rock presenting No Doubt along with Paramore and The Sounds. You've been hearing about it all week long, July 31st and August 1st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. What about our friend Gwen Stefani making a return appearance on the world-famous K-Rock after some time away? Hey, Gwen.
Hi, guys. This feels great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We missed you so much.
Thank you.
You can't stop having kids, and you can't stop being Japanese.
Pregnant the whole time.
It does seem like it. All right, we have so many questions for you. We have to first know how did it happen? Why is now the right time that No Doubt needs to hit the road and blow it up this summer?
Well, I mean, we had a whole game plan. You know, I was going to do the Sweet Escape tour. I was going to come home and get pregnant, and then I was going to do the No Doubt record pregnant, because I know how to be pregnant, and I was going to be able to, like, multitask. And I tried, and I swear, Tony and Tom came over every day, and we ate loads. I mean, we were eating and talking and hanging out and procrastinating. But and then I was like, you know what, you guys, this is not happening. Come back after I have the baby. We'll do some more, and we did. And at that point, I was just like, I've been so cooped up and pregnant, and then I don't want to be in this room right now and just be doing this. I need to get out there and get inspired. And so it's kind of cheating, but I was like, let's just go now, and then we'll come back and make the record. And, you know, we're a live band. That's what we've always been good at, and it's like there's nothing more inspiring than hearing people sing your songs back at you. And I think that's just going to point me in the right direction to write the new modern No Doubt record and what I need to get, like, back in the groove.
Will you promise us that you will not become pregnant between now and then?
You know what? These things, I will try not to.
There are ways, Gwen. I'm just saying. You got to get some of that mace to put on your keychain for when Gavin comes around.
I know. Gavin is like, wow. You
know? Okay. Now, I'm sure a lot of people have wondered this, and maybe some have even asked you, but I have not had the opportunity. You took that break that turned out obviously being longer than you thought it was going to be for No Doubt. Was there ever a time during that period where you guys weren't together that it was there was a little bit of a strain or some tension? Were you ever worried that somehow you were going to read in the paper you had been replaced by Chris Cornell, or what was the deal?
I think that there was a little bit of tension, like, right between, like, when I finished the Love Angel Music Baby record and wanted to do the Sweet Escape. I think, you know, because that was like a lot to ask, like say, okay, you know, I want to do another record.
Right.
But the thing was is that I was so close to being done with that record because I had written so many songs for the first one. I thought I was. I actually had a lot more work to do than I thought. But, you know, the thing is we're all talking about inspiration, and you have to kind of like, you have to take it when it's there. And for me, like, musically, the music that I was into and it was inspired to do was right there, and I had to do it then because it's just where I was at. And you can't force yourself to do something that you're not into at the moment. So
right.
They were very understanding about it and very cool. And, you know, but of course they were, like, excited to do another No Doubt record. So the plan was always that I would finish up and do the tour and then do a No Doubt record. And here we are. I mean, here we are. And
you,
I did that. Yeah. And it was like as soon as I finished The Sweet Escape, I mean, literally the day that I was mastering, I was like, I was excited to do a No Doubt record.
Now, you didn't get any messages from Tony or Tom or Adrian going, come on!
Not really. I mean, I know that probably in their heads they were probably going, come on, let's go. We're ready. But they were really busy doing their own projects. Like, they've done so much. Tony was really involved in songwriting, you know, with me. I don't know if you know that the Pink single that's out now is something that he produced. And he's become an amazing producer-songwriter over the last few years. And so everyone's kind of, and same with Tom, he has this band, this guy, Matt Costa, that he works with. I mean, there's loads of projects going on. And you can imagine after all the years of being so committed to each other and, like, you know, doing only the No Doubt thing,
sure.
Being able to have their own space and do their own thing is very, you know, rewarding as well. So
I'll get that. And then it's not like, hey, let's get the band back together and let's do four dates. I mean, your guys are going to be gone from, you know, essentially the 1st of May through the 1st of August. Your guys are rocking it hard this year.
Well, I mean, first of all, it goes really fast and it's really pointless once you get it up and running to, like, you can't really do it small. It's like, it's so much work to get a show like this together that you, the longer you can actually be out there, the more worth it is. It's like, plus it's like, you only get, like, halfway through the tour, you really start to rock. You know what I mean? It's like
so the people at the beginning of the tour get kind of ripped off.
No, because they don't really know. I'm talking from like the inside, like how you feel, like
right.
On a selfish level. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's going to be great. It's going to be electric. I mean, we did. I don't know if you saw. We played when I did the Sweet Escape tour. We played Irvine Meadows, and the guys came out as like a surprise at the end, and we did like five songs together.
Yeah.
And the show was already incredible, which home shows sometimes aren't.
Right.
And it was like a mind-blowing show, and then all of a sudden they came out and it went to this whole other level of like craziness. And hopefully it's going to be like that every night.
Well, that's why it's great that you're ending the tour July 31st and August 1st with the shows that were giving away tickets to all weekend long, No Doubt, along with Paramore and The Sounds. We want to talk more about that. We want to talk about the iTunes deal, the Gossip Girl appearance, and everything else. We've got to take a quick break. Our guest is Gwen Stefani this afternoon. More in a moment right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. I said that well. And Gwen Stefani is joining us this afternoon.
Hi, guys.
So, Gwen, Paramore. That's a nice pull for an opening act, huh?
You think so?
Well, I think so.
What a perfect bill that is.
Well, I mean, that's like, again, you're trying to put like the whole night together. You want everyone to have fun the whole time, and it's slim pickings really for an opening act. It's hard because like there's so many things that have to like line up. Like usually a lot of the bands you want to take, they're already too big. Like they want to do their own tour. So Paramore just seemed kind of perfect. They kind of remind me a little bit of, like, No Doubt in the old days. Like, just the vibe of them. You
right.
know, like, the
sure,
energy.
Sure.
So I think people are going to have fun.
Tony was backstage at the Acoustic Christmas this past Christmas, and he grabbed me and he said, let's go meet Haley because we're going to tour with them. Come on, we're going to the dressing room. We're going to tour with them. It's going to be exciting. And then he came back later and he's like, don't say anything about that because we haven't made the announcement yet. I was like, okay, no worries. It's cool. But that does sound like the perfect band for you to tour with.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I got to meet Haley over the phone, and she was really sweet. And, you know, usually, like, you really get really close with the people that you're on tour with because it's like this little circus, traveling circus, and everybody's together every single day. And It'll be fun. I mean, hopefully she likes kids.
Yeah, because there are going to be a lot of them backstage and a no-doubt sure this summer, that's for sure.
She's got a lot of baby boys.
She's the right size.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
she's tiny. She's pocket-sized. Hey, tickets for these no-doubt shows, by the way, that we've been talking about on K-Rock go on sale tomorrow at noon. And we got to give you huge props, Gwen, that you guys are trying as hard as K-Rock is to figure out a way to cut the scalpers out of the package. You're doing something very special with this no-doubt tour group that you're doing.
Yeah, it's always been a problem forever. I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, back in the day, I don't think kids even realized that you used to have to go down and stand in a line.
Yep.
And, like, wait for tickets only to get nosebleeds because the scalpers buy all the tickets.
Yep.
So it's not something new, but it is new on the internet. It's pretty crazy. So we basically are offering a tour, like, club that you can buy into, and it guarantees these tickets where you have to have your ID, and it's very complicated. And so we did that, and then we also are offering, like, $10 lawn tickets for people just so they can, you know, it's affordable.
Right.
And then there's these other tickets that you can get. I don't really know how much they cost, but, like, if you buy these other tickets, you actually get to download the entire No Doubt catalog for you know, the cost of those tickets.
Those tickets are $7,000. Oddly enough.
Don't say that. It's not true.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it is awesome. The iTunes deal is a great deal to get the catalog, including the new song that we'll talk about in a minute. But this No Doubt Tour Club, I just love this so much because you're taking a certain percentage of every venue that you play, and those tickets are essentially non-transferable. You're a fan in the club, and you're the one who can use the tickets. And that way, the scalpers, it won't do them any good to buy them because they'll have to show ID for that person. So that's a very, very smart thing to do. Let's talk about the new music. So far, I mean, you're going to do a new album later in the year, but so far, Stand and Deliver is the song that you have chosen to do, and that, of course, is an Adamant cover. Where'd that come from, Gwen?
It came out of left field. I mean, they came to us saying, do you want to, we're doing a show where it's going to be this 80s flashback thing. Do you want to do an 80s cover? And we were kind of like, okay, it sounds fun. You know, like everything just came together so fast, like we weren't even going to be going on tour. And we chose Adam and the Ant. Like, Tony made a list of a bunch of songs, and we all got on the phone, and it was like we didn't even discuss it for very long. We just kind of all agreed. And, you know, doing a cover can be really difficult. We're in the middle of mixing it today. Like, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I think I get a mix coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're competing with, like, perfection. So how do you, like, compete to Adam Ant? And the way that it originally is so great. So it's been harder than we thought, but I think it turned out really good. We just took it to a whole other place, and it's going to be a really fun song to be able to play, and I love that guy.
You know, we had Adam on a couple of, at least one, maybe two of the Acoustic Christmas shows back in the 90s, and he is a phenomenal performer. I know he doesn't do much anymore, but man, he's got way more songs than people remember that Adam and the Ants had. He's a great, great guy.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you'll be on Gossip Girl. Now, will you guys be appearing on the show, or will the song just be played on the Gossip Girl on May 11th?
Oh, we're appearing on the show.
Ah.
Yeah, we're going to be the band in this flashback. So that was what was kind of with something different. We've never done something like that before. We haven't recorded it yet, so I can't really tell you because I don't really know what it's going to be exactly like, but it's going to be fun. Something new we've never done.
Yeah, no kidding. It sure seems like 2009 is going to be like one of your best years ever, and I can tell how excited you are to finally be together with your boys.
Yeah, I am excited. I'm counting on everyone to inspire me so I can write some songs. I'm in that, like, desperate, let me write some songs.
Do you think that that process will go a little bit quicker considering maybe the guys have been able to work on stuff while you're away or on the road? How does that work, or will you start from scratch after the tour?
I think that there's lots of stuff that I could go back to now, like once the pregnancy hormones have left my body completely.
Right.
And like I can go back to the stuff they've been working on, and then we, you know, after this tour is going to put us in a whole another place, because I mean touring is just so extreme. It really does get you into a whole other, like, just a whole other situation, you
yeah.
know. And I'm not saying that I'm going to write on the tour. We're going to have a tour bus that's going to have a studio ready to go, but in case the magic hits. But I'm not counting on that. I'm just hoping that when I get off, that it's just going to, I'm going to be back in that world. And the whole pregnancy thing really does take a lot out of me personally. So I'm just, you know, I want to enjoy where I'm at. And I feel like I put so much pressure on myself to songwrite, that now to be able to take that off and go out there and just have fun for a minute is going to put me in the right place.
And you're promising us no pregnancy. That's what you're saying to us.
Well, I can't promise anything, but I trust me. I have a six-month-old baby. I do not want to get pregnant right now.
All right, exactly. All right, Gwen. Well, listen, I got one more thing for you before you go, and that's you're going out on this tour with Paramore, and our little friend Dave, the King of Mexico, who you've met many times, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, he's planning on taking a leave of absence from the show so that he could follow you guys all over the country. I just want to warn you, make sure his name doesn't appear in any kind of backstage lists, okay?
Okay.
Just keep Dave as far away from you as possible for your own safety.
I will get a picture to my security guard.
There you go.
As soon as possible.
You need to do that.
All right. Okay. It's No Doubt back together again with Paramore and the Sounds Friday, July 31st, Saturday, August 1st at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. It has been far too long since we talked to you. We still talk about the day you brought the brownies in, Gwen, and I hope we get a chance to see you in person real soon.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you,
Gwen. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. So about this time yesterday, Kevin, tickets were on sale for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, our all-star night of comedy, April 3rd at the Gibson, and they maybe are not as available today as they were yesterday, I guess is my point.
They're available by calling.
It does seem. That's true. You can't buy them, but you can win them right now if you're caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to join us that night and help us raise some money for Boarding for Breast Cancer. And please enjoy, because it's going to be a great night. Ralph is here, Friday afternoon, the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, how excited would you be if I told you the Seinfeld cast was reuniting after 11 years?
I don't know.
For the first time in 11 years, all four stars of Seinfeld getting together again.
Are they going to do another Seinfeld? Or
well,
what's...
here's the thing. How interested would you be if I told you they were all appearing on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Then I'd be
then
in.
That then would be cool. It's going to be funny, right?
Then yes. I would be in.
Apparently, they'll all be playing themselves.
That's the dude who created it, right? Seinfeld?
Seinfeld
co-created with Seinfeld, yeah.
Yeah.
Seinfeld did it with Larry David, who stars, of course, on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And they will come together again.
That's pretty cool.
On apparently several episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's going to be a story arc that will include all four members of Seinfeld.
That show was brilliant.
Which I think could be very fun.
The show is back. It's been how long?
Do they go to Kramer's comedy show?
Yes. I think he just said...
You can't say that, Ralph.
That's what he said.
I know, but we can't.
No one since the telephone was invented has been happier to receive a phone call to work than Michael Richards was when Larry David called.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kramer, I can't believe you said that. Robin Williams in serious condition in the hospital. I mentioned earlier this week that he was brought into the hospital with with chest pains. It turns out it is his heart, and it's pretty serious. He has to have heart surgery to replace his aortic valve.
Wow.
Turns out you need that. You need the aortic valve.
That is a working part?
It has to operate in order for your heart to do its business.
Hmm.
So he is temporarily suspending his tour of his one-man show, Weapons of Self-Destruction, after experiencing shortness of breath and some chest pain, and it turns out open-heart surgery is necessary. Robin says he'll be back shortly, though. I can't wait to get back on the road after a little tune-up, he says.
A little tune-up? Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. More news about Chris Brown. He was in court yesterday facing prosecutors as they leveled, as expected, two felony charges against him. This regarding his alleged beating of Rihanna on February the 8th. Felony assault and felony criminal threats is what he was charged with. He was supposed to be arraigned yesterday afternoon, but that's been postponed until next month because apparently he had some partying to do.
Wow.
He was caught by TMZ. They have photographs of him coming out of the SLS Hotel here in Los Angeles after partying in the hotel bar till about 3:45 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like this would be a time from a public relations standpoint, to just maybe, I don't know, lay kind of low and just drink at home?
Sure would make sense to me.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I am no rap star.
That's true, by the way.
And I guess Radiohead can finally give up on that guest shot on Hannah Montana they've been hoping for.
I didn't know they were hoping for that.
No, actually, they weren't. Oh. But Miley Cyrus told a radio station in Portland, Oregon, that she was a huge fan of Radiohead until they dissed her backstage at the Grammys.
Oh, no, they didn't.
What?
Miley desperately wanted to meet Radiohead, so she went up to their dressing room and was told by Radiohead's handlers that, no, they're just not really interested in having a sit-down with you, Miley.
That's what happened to Kanye West as well.
Yeah.
Remember when he said, I sat down during your performance? Same thing. He wanted to say hi to him.
Yep.
They don't say hi.
She was furious.
Don't you know who I am? Did she shout that?
She didn't.
No.
But she told the DJs in Portland, stinking Radiohead, I'm going to ruin them. I'm going to tell everyone. She said it half-jokingly, but apparently she was very disappointed.
She had to have been joking.
She didn't meet Radiohead.
I'm sure she's famous enough and has received enough perks that she probably is at the point where she feels like she ought to be able to do anything she wants because she's Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I bet she rarely gets turned down for any meet and greet that she wants to have.
Sure.
Right.
Because, after all, she's Hannah Montana.
That's true. Sure. It's hard to argue.
How did Hannah Montana become such a big part of our lives? She's 16.
Yeah. Disney. Yeah.
Giant teeth. Big wide mouth bass looking bitch. What an asshole of her. And finally, oh, thank God, Fox has announced they are putting together the big screen, big budget movie version of the comic strip Marmaduke.
Yes. Well, yeah. I don't read comics, Ralph. Oh, is that a funny one?
Oh, Kevin, Marmaduke's a giant Great Dane who really is just a handful. He is hard to handle. When his owner tries to walk him, he pulls them really hard on the leash
that
because
does not
he's
happen.
So strong and big.
Right.
He often digs up the garden.
Wow.
He loves bones.
Really?
Oh, and yeah. And
same
other,
with Psycho Mike.
Other foods.
Right.
That are ordinarily thought of as human food, like peanut butter pie and things. He just
goes
crazy
for right
those.
There.
Wow.
It's just nonstop hilarity.
This movie writes itself.
It really just needs to be on the big screen. Freaking Marmaduke.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
Right. Thank you, Caesar.
It's dog movies. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They need to have a dog movie because dog movies do well.
Do very well.
Freaking Beverly Hills Chihuahua and Marley and Me, and now Marmaduke will hit the big screen for you Great Dane fans. The Farrelly Brothers, by the way, also are working on a dog movie. I'm not kidding. Farrelly Brothers have brought you Something About Mary and the other hilarious comedies called Walter the Farting Dog.
Okay, I think that I would watch.
That's for Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Now that's a dog.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ed McMahon, TV personality for many, many, many years. He is currently struggling in the hospital. We wish him the best, 86 years old. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 63 years old. Today, Rob Reiner, actor and director, 62. Tom Arnold is 50. D.L. Hughley recently had his show canceled on CNN this week. Sadly, he is 45 years old. Shaquille O'Neal turns 37.
Can he dig it?
And Chris Thompson, the drummer of Vampire Weekend, celebrates his 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.